We're on the electric radio here. Hi, it's me, Doc on the Rock. Hope you hear me. I don't hear myself. Typical beginning.
Barely, Doc.
This typically ridiculous block of airtime. How are you? I haven't been live on the radio with you people in a long time. Oh, it's such an experience. Are we on the air? Boy, I sure can't hear myself or anybody else, but that's all right. It always begins this way, and then Kevin and Bean will tape it, and they'll put it on and make fun of me on the weekday show. I don't know why I don't hear myself very loud. I don't know why the meters aren't showing that we are talking very loud. What would that be? Would that be a problem
that would be
I've created? Tell me, producer.
A mic not on.
Anyway, try that.
Just
that'll just make a dang bit of difference.
Just turn on the mic.
How are you? Anyway.
Doc.
Is your day starting as badly as mine?
Nope.
Oh, Doc on the Rock never gets an even break when he comes in here and tries to figure out why he sounds like he's talking in a tin box. Oh, well, let's try, hello? Hello?
Turn on
hello.
Your mic. There you go.
You know what? That's why. Oh, they'll love this downtown, folks. The idiot had the wrong mic on. That idiot would be me. If anybody has a tape of this show, destroy it.
Yes.
I will maim the person who lets Kevin and Bean have that.
Like we would play it. That is fantastic. That's fantastic.
You know, if I didn't know better, I'd say he was on something.
Yeah, but you know better.
But I know better.
Yeah. So what is it?
Crazy.
It's people like you who
and
don't
you're
understand
deaf.
Them.
You're deaf.
No, I.
You can't hear what anybody's
about.
Saying, but you.
What?
See? I'd rather have no show than callers like that. Whew. Okay, you're on my list.
If you haven't listened to Open Mouth on Sunday mornings,
I think it's Open Line.
Whatever. It's magic. It really is. It's like a local events type show, and they talk about like public service announcements and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it is good, good radio.
That's just a taste.
It's
right
either
there.
Doc or Scott Mason, both of which are outstanding.
Yeah. Yes. Professional broadcasters.
That show, by the way, now I believe is being syndicated to other cities. That.
Are you kidding?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I'm not kidding. That is happening.
I can't believe it's playing here.
I can't either.
Open Line is crazy because you take two people, be it Doc or Scott, who are both profoundly smart people.
True.
And you too smart for their own good.
Right. And then
I think. Take
the K-Rock listeners, most at that time of the morning on a Sunday, who are probably still up.
Mm-hmm.
And you combine the two, and it never works out. It turns into a mess.
That's a really good point.
But it sure is fun to listen to.
Yeah.
And if you get a chance, it's also a lot of fun to call. Because you can send Doc, you know, off the deep end like that. Or
yeah.
Scott, even. I mean, they don't have a tremendous amount of callers, I would guess, at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So if you're up and you think about it, maybe that's the time to call in.
Give them a call. They're lonely.
Give them a hard time.
I'll talk to you.
All right. Let's start today's show with your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
Today, a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood, the
cool.
entertainment capital of L.A. Right now, you stop by Subway Restaurant to pick up an $18 off general admission coupon to Universal Studios Hollywood, or you get on the air and we just give you some for free.
Awesome.
But be good. Earn them. Let's start with George in Los Angeles. Good morning, George.
Yo, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What's
what
going on?
What it do, George?
Other than Omar, did anyone else happen to catch Rachel Ray yesterday?
No, Omar does hate her with an unnatural hate. I've just been able to avoid her. I don't really watch. I don't know anything about her. But she does seem annoyingly peppy.
Oh, yes. What was she doing?
Well, no, our good friend Jay Cox Moore was on there yesterday.
What?
Oh, my dear holy mother F, was it disgusting.
Wait, did you say her good friend?
No, I said our good friend.
Oh, you know, our good friend, yeah.
Yeah, he was kissing up to her, saying how much he was a fan. I had to go throw up afterwards. I couldn't believe what I was watching. What happened to that guy?
He got a TV show.
I think when it comes to having to promote whatever project you have, you kind of have to go where you normally wouldn't go and say what you normally wouldn't say.
I mean, that show appeals to middle America, and I love him, but that's not really his humor. And you're right. He has to go out and make nice to promote it.
But Rachel Ray, what's the point? Seem to know about her show? Did you get the sense he watched it?
He knew everything about the show.
Hey, I will tell you, his wife cooks like a crazy woman.
Oh, well, that could be
it. And Rachel Ray's, has her cooking show, so that's probably what it is.
That could be it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'd like to believe that.
Let's go with that.
So. As Jay is our friend, I would like to believe that. Thank you. I would hate to see Omar throw down with Jay in the hallway next time he comes in.
Because that'll happen.
That will happen. All right, let's go to DJ in Huntington Beach. Good morning, DJ.
What it do, nephew? What it do, babe?
What it do, DJ?
What's going on?
I was wondering if you guys are going to watch some of the basketball games tonight. The big dance starts tonight.
Can't wait. Love March Madness like nothing else. It's the best.
Did you fill out your brackets yet?
I did not. No, I'm working on that today. What time do the games start?
I think some start in the morning.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of, like 9 or 10 a.m.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'll do it, while we're talking to Nicolas Cage or something. I'll work on it. Did you guys see the video online of President Obama?
Yes.
Going through the entire bracket and telling us who he thought was going to win, and then they're going to advance to this level, and why, and...
Were you not fascinated at how devoted he was to that? I mean, he was really sincere on his picks, and
he wasn't PRing it. I don't think it seemed like he knew what he was talking about. Did some research, blah blah blah. But then that begs the question: don't you have a job?
I was just thinking that.
I mean,
there's some stuff you should be paying attention to.
At least he's standing in front of a dry erase board with every cut bracket and every team, and he works his way down to who will win the Final Four.
Let me tell you, North Carolina. I picked you last year. You let me down. Don't do it again.
Whoa, that's pressure.
Yeah, no kidding. But he really has a lot of knowledge. And then the guy says, do you have time? Do you stay up for some of the ends of these games? Some of which are, 1, 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. Washington time. And he said, no, I just catch the highlights on SportsCenter. I got to tell you, it's kind of nice to have a president who sort of sounds normal like the rest of us.
But is really smart.
Right.
Yeah. It's a nice combination. I agree.
So I was happy to hear him talk about SportsCenter, happy to hear him talk about basketball, like he knows what he's talking about, which is really refreshing, and worried that perhaps he shouldn't be doing that with his time. I don't know. It just seems like...
We can't really give the guy a break.
No,
it's
I don't.
Cool. Don't do that.
I like it, but stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Hector in Simi Valley. Good morning.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Did you guys see the Clippers game last night?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, boy, we watched them.
Oh, no.
We got a victory.
Yes!
Oh, you mean you got a victory.
Hey, I'm from L.A., so we got a victory.
Well, I got news for you.
Hey, Baron Davis had a really good night, almost a triple-double.
Who'd you beat?
Washington.
Wow. All right. The Generals?
Career high, 20 assists.
Wow, that's not bad.
Yeah.
How many games have the Clippers won now?
You know what? I have no clue.
Yeah, sure.
It's funny.
It's funny how all
Clippers... I follow the Lakers, but I root for the Clippers also. I'm from L.A.
You can't do both.
Hey, I do both.
Hector, you can't...
You're breaking a rule.
You can't root for the Lakers and then also be a fan of the Clippers.
Why not?
Well, it's...
They're both representing my city.
No!
I grew up in L.A., so I root for L.A. teams.
And well,
you know, who I'm a fan of? I'm a fan of God and Satan. I worship them both.
Hey, more power to you.
You got to pick, my friend.
There's no downside to rooting for the Clippers. They're not going to do anything. It's just a nice thing to do.
They just need some time. They'll come back.
No. What? Don't be silly.
They'll have a decent
It's a pity root.
All right.
Yeah, Lisa.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Hector. I reject him. I don't think that's possible to do. If you're a Ducks fan, you hate the Kings. If you're a Kings fan, you hate the Ducks.
But I mean, they're both viable teams.
That's the way it works.
Well, doesn't that make a difference?
One of them is. let's go to Sean in Riverside. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Hey, speaking of the Clippers, I found front row tickets at the Auto Club in L.A. Mm-hmm. to the Clippers.
What do you mean you found them?
They were laying on the ground.
What?
You're not kidding. You found them.
Two of them, yeah.
Did you say front row?
Front row, 116. 116. And instead of, you know, taking them and going to the game or selling them, I just took them back. They're not worth a damn.
You took... Okay, I don't believe this. You took the tickets back to where? To the ticket office or something?
No, it was at the Auto Club. It was
so
on the
Auto Club, okay. They'll go back and ask for
them. I just took it back to the desk and said, these ain't worth a damn, so here, you can...
Yeah. Now we're trying
to sell
it.
You can try to find whoever...
Well, that was nice of you.
Hey, Sean, is it possible to be a Laker fan and a Clipper fan?
No, I'm just a Laker fan. There's no such thing as Clipper fans.
Well, there is, but they're not Laker fans, I would guess. As a matter of fact, I would guess, thank you for the call, I would guess most people who are Clippers fans, like Dave the King of Mexico, our friend, is a Laker hater.
Right.
That's how they got involved with the Clippers, because how else do you find a team like that and go, yes.
Who, have they ever been good?
I am going to root for this team.
Two seasons ago.
They've been
ago,
okay.
I mean, look, they won a playoff series when the Lakers didn't about two seasons ago, but Dave and I were just talking about this last night. It's so hard to change the whole culture of a team when it's that bad for so long.
Right.
And, I mean, they are renowned for just being horrible. And no matter what you do, even if you get the players, it's so hard to turn that around.
Yeah, that's a rough.
The stench.
That's a rough thing. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning. We have Matt Money Smith coming in the studio to talk about all the college basketball that begins today.
Great.
Very excited about that. He also has some behind-the-scenes tape of KFED in the studio.
Can't wait to hear this.
He's recording like custom ringtones or something where he says, hey, pick up your phone. It's KFED. Your phone's ringing. Something like that.
Yeah.
And apparently you can hear back and forth between the producer, and he takes a phone call from his mom in the middle of it. It's just
awesome.
It's just the best. So we're going to listen to that today. We are also going to talk about Senator Grassley from Iowa. I don't know if you've seen this. There's a huge story about AIG, the insurance giant, that just got a monster bailout and how they're bonusing a lot of their people with the bailout money. And this dude, this senator, says that they should die. They should kill themselves. And I like that.
Wow, he came right out with it.
Finally, a politician who actually says something. So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. We're going to talk to a K-Rock listener who lives in Octomom's neighborhood.
Oh, poor guy.
Lives three houses down, I think. What a nightmare that is.
Yeah.
We have Phil Kogan, who hosts Amazing Race in the studio today, which is fantastic. That show is really good. And we have Nicolas Cage on the program today.
Wow.
Talking about Knowing.
Cool.
And the K-Rock World Tour, Destination Number 6, Nine Inch Nails, Jane's Addiction, Tel Aviv. You get on the standby boarding list by scoring tickets to their show May 20th. That's at Verizon Wireless. Tickets for that go on sale Friday at 3. We will do the grand prize drawing, I believe, tomorrow.
Is that right? You're reading it.
I don't know.
I don't have
any idea. But
don't,
I believe,
don't listen to him. Maybe.
I believe it's tomorrow.
Okay.
But double check yourselves if you can. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz. Ralph Garman is here for a look at the Showbiz Beat.
Wrong, sir.
Ralph Garman is not here to look at the Showbiz Beat.
Oh, that's right. It's me. Sometimes I get confused.
Ralph Garman is here to look at the Showbiz Beat.
Okay.
How tragic was this Natasha Richardson situation?
It's stunning.
Last night, I guess.
How much worse could it have gotten?
Well, she died last night.
Oh, she did? Okay. Yeah. I thought they were saying already that she was...
She was brain dead. There wasn't much brain activity. There wasn't any brain activity going on when she was on life support. But after they surrounded her friends and family to sort of say goodbye to her in a New York hospital, they just made the tough decision to take her off life support at the Lenox Hill Hospital in New York City, and she passed away last night.
Wow. It's just so shocking.
Goofing around on the slopes in Canada over a fall to death in mere days.
For those of you who didn't follow that story, she was just learning to, you know, ski, bunny slope. No big deal. No big fall.
Yeah. Doctors are speculating she may have had some sort of vascular irregularity in her head or something that made her susceptible to bleeding out into her skull with a slight bump.
Wow.
So, looks like a combination of bad luck and perhaps a predisposition to bleeding in the brain caused this tragedy for Liam Neeson, who, of course, was her husband and their two young sons, Michael and Daniel. So, rough story.
Yeah.
First, Natasha Richardson, now Darth Vader.
What?
Great.
What? Are you talking
Great.
About?
But he wears a helmet.
Darth Vader has prostate cancer. Great.
The character or the guy that plays him?
the character, Kevin.
Maybe there's another one
in
coming
the
out.
Upcoming
I'm not
Star Wars sequel. They will deal with Darth Vader's prostate.
All right.
They will send the Death Star up his ass to try to laser it out.
You don't have to get snippy. I was just asking.
I'm telling you, that's a dumb question. David Prowse, the actor who played Darth Vader in the films, he was the guy in the suit. James Earl Jones, of course, did the voice, has revealed that he has prostate cancer and he's receiving therapy.
How old is he, Ralph?
He's 73, Lisa.
Then, of course, he has prostate cancer, right? We talked about this the other day.
Yeah, I think 8 out of 10 guys over the age of 75 or something come down with it.
Yeah. They do that much?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, but it's such a slow-growing cancer that they say it probably won't kill you. You'll just die of natural causes.
Well, they have therapies that can arrest it and
put it in jail.
Put it in jail, yes. But he said he's okay. He's lost some hair on his legs and his chest, but other than that, he's fine.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Except I have to get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom.
Does he breathe like that still?
Yeah, that's my Darth Vader. No. Jay Leno will have Barack Obama on his television talk show tonight.
Yep.
That is something.
Ralph, how would one of those questions go if we were to get a preview of that?
I don't know. I don't know what you're saying. I can't make out what you're saying. It's the first time a president has ever appeared in a late-night talk show while in office. So I'm sure he'll have some interesting things to say. And I'm sure we'll get a lot of information because Jay is such a great interviewer.
Yes. Yeah. Excellent choice.
He is good at that.
He was going to say.
He should go on like Jon Stewart or somebody like that that is actually really smart and knows politics.
That would be great.
Speaking of Jon Stewart, tonight, Bruce Springsteen will be performing on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Oh, wow.
That guy. What would he need him for?
Come on. It's just the fourth musical guest Jon Stewart's ever had.
I was going to say, he doesn't usually have
musicians play. He's had the White Stripes, Coldplay, Tom Waits, and Rush, I guess is the fifth. Actually, no, Rush was on Colbert, right? This is just the fourth.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You know what they're bringing back? Good news for everyone who loves cheesy stories about celebrities. VH1 is bringing back Behind the Music.
Oh,
remember Behind the Music?
Yeah.
Always good.
Garrett crashed his Porsche and killed his friend next to him.
You find yourself watching an hour of a story on somebody you have no interest in
whatsoever.
Never
heard their music, didn't care about them, but now you'll be watching their life story. 10 new episodes are in the works. Apparently, they're already working with Lil Wayne to do one on him and Scott Weiland. That would be a fascinating Behind the Music.
Yeah, no kidding.
That'd have to be like a four-hour special, though. How do you cram that life into,
that's a great
into an hour program? Jamie Presley.
Ow! Yeah.
She's so hot. She's got that new movie, I Love You, Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Doing a lot of press for it. Talking about the kind of men she likes. Looks like you and me are out of luck, Kevin, and Psycho Mike's in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Jamie says she's
douchebags?
Not interested in macho, manly men. She likes the metrosexual, effeminate men.
He's a douche.
So, true, he is. Psycho Mike has a shot with Jamie Presley.
If he was interested in women, that would be exciting to him.
And to her.
Mm-hmm. Douchebag.
And the word is that the relationship between Madonna and her Brazilian boyfriend, model 22-year-old Jesus Luz, is purely physical.
Really?
What? They don't have things to talk about?
Apparently not, Lisa.
Huh.
She's not looking for a life partner?
No.
Huh.
The thing about Jesus is he can barely speak English, they claim. He doesn't speak much English.
He's Brazilian, right?
Yes.
Does she speak?
Portuguese?
Portuguese or whatever?
Brazilla? Brasilio? No, she does not.
Excellent.
So they don't talk much.
Huh.
At all.
But she has rented him an apartment in downtown Manhattan in New York.
Wow.
She pays for everything, keeps his lifestyle up in New York City,
she's
and just goes over.
Sugar
and,
mama.
And
just keeping him.
Just bones him.
Wow.
That's what she does.
Well,
that's their relationship.
Can't fight that way.
That's true.
You don't speak the language.
You can fight. You just do some headboard fighting. You know what I mean? Bang, bang, bang. We know the names of Jenna Jameson and Tito Ortiz's little boys. They had twin boys who came into the world earlier this week.
Celebrities have a responsibility to name them something effed up.
Yeah, they only came through half the way for
all
us.
Right.
Jesse Jameson Ortiz.
Okay.
That's one of the boys. The other is Journey Jet Ortiz.
Okay. One out of two.
Journey Jet.
Journey Jet.
Sounds the like unlucky
a,
one.
Sounds like a Disney show. Wow. And now the new adventures of Journey Jet. Co-starring the Jonas Brothers.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
They each got one kid to name, apparently.
She named Journey Jet?
Yep.
Don't stop believing.
Speaking of sex.
Okay.
Well, Jenna Jameson always makes me think of sex.
Good enough.
The financial crunch has hit even sex toy stores.
Really? Are they reporting losses?
Study yesterday, they said that due to the recession, people who used to buy up to three sex toys at once are now just buying one. If you buy three sex toys, where do you put the third? That's what I want to know.
Well, I don't think you use them all at once.
Oh, I see.
Airtight?
I
think
you rotate, probably.
You chip a tooth that way. Got to be careful, ladies. And Oasis lead singer Liam Gallagher has started his own clothing line.
Okay.
Liam's got his own clothing line now. It's called Pretty Green, which is named after a song from the Jam Sound Effects album. It is footwear, jeans, knitwear, jackets, trench coats, parkas, t-shirts, hats, and more. However, the clothing does show up 2 hours late for anywhere it needs to go. What? But I? Could you? And last night, Alexis Grace, one of my favorites on American Idol, got booted off.
Oh. Now, was that you? Yesterday, you were doing the story where that company was bummed. Predicting
Dial Idol.
Was that one
they predict the bottom three and the top three every week? That's what they do.
Was that one of the bottom?
The bottom three last night were exactly the bottom three that they predicted.
Really?
Yep.
How about that?
Alexis Grace, the adorable little blonde who sang Dolly Parton's "Jolene" as Country Western Week was, of course, this week. Was booted off, and this is the cruelest thing ever. The judges, you know, they have this save that they get to use this season. Mm-hmm. If they like someone and think they've been unfairly voted off, they want to give them another shot, they can save them, bring them back.
Once?
Once. Okay. They can only use this special gift they can give once. So they said to her when she was voted off, Simon says, we were talking about it, and we decided that, yes, you are a person that we would save.
Yeah.
So... And then she's got to sing her song again. You know, they make you sing your song after you get booted off?
Right.
She's like, so this performance will, everything is riding on this.
Wow, nice.
So she sings, nervous as hell, gets through it, I think, pretty well. And then they come back to the judges and somebody goes, that was good, but just not good enough. I'm sorry, no, we're not going to save you. She got booted off twice. Brutal.
Okay, you have hope. Okay, no.
I mean, here's a song that they critiqued.
Already
when
once.
She sang it,
yes.
And she's got to sing the exact same song. It's
right.
Not like
how
she's
much more,
change
how
it.
Much better can she do?
And this dude went through. That guy went through.
Wow. Yeah. That dude. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Glenn Close is 62 years old today. Wow.
She looks good for 62.
Wow. Holy mother of garp. Is she old? Bruce Willis is 54. Mm-hmm. By the way, Bruce and talks, he's engaged apparently to his 32-year-old girlfriend.
Of course he is.
All right.
God bless him. Zach Lynn from Jimmy Eat World is 33 years old today. And actress Rachel Blanchard turns 33 years old. Belle.
I don't know who she is. Sorry.
She was on the TV version of Clueless.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I don't know if you've been watching any of the coverage. I don't know if you saw the TMZ yesterday.
Yeah.
But the Octomom came home with two kids, and it was a party unlike anything I've ever seen before. The paparazzi was out there.
Yeah.
But in this case, it was also St. Patrick's Day, and everyone in the neighborhood seemed to be out there. There were people grabbing onto the car. That's the first time I think I felt...
A little bad for her.
A little sorry for her.
Yeah. It was insane.
It was really ridiculous.
And one
of the people making it ridiculous is K-Rock listener Robert. Hey, Robert.
What's up, guys? I can't believe you feel sorry for this psycho woman.
Just a little, though.
I mean, she's got those little kids. I feel bad for them.
I feel bad for them. I would like to see them taken away from her, and then I could just hate her simply.
Well, check this out. She was on Dr. Phil yesterday. Did you guys hear what she had to say on
Dr. Phil? She was on Dr. Phil again?
Is she his only guest now?
Check it out. One of the things Dr. Phil asked her was, you know, would you be interested in dating again? Her words, and I quote, is... No, I'm not interested in dating. I choose celibacy. I choose to live the life of a nun to be an example to my kids. Apparently, she's talking about a Catholic nun because she's shooting out kids like nobody's business.
That's a bizarre thing to say. Now, where do you live?
I live just a few houses from her. Right now, I'm actually right in front of her house.
You're in front of her house now?
Now.
At 10 minutes after 6 in the morning.
Do you believe it? It's kind of insane, huh?
Why?
You know what's funny?
No, why are you there?
I figured if I'm going to do an Octomom report, might as well be in front of the Octomom's house, right?
Okay.
I know you called a couple times on the Afro line, and we played those reports, but unless you literally go to TMZ and watch the scene outside of her house, it's not possible to understand what a zoo that was
Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
two nights ago.
Hanging off the side of the truck on TMZ.
That was you?
I was one of the people.
You are crazy.
My God. Holding on to the car and then driving up, and then they ended up breaking her garage door. This is a circus like we've never seen.
It's insane. Can you guys name the 8 Octa kids?
Of course not.
No.
All right, we got Noah, Malaya, Nariah, Jeremiah, Josiah, Jonah, Lysaiah.
What?
And Micaiah, and one more. Micaiah and Makai. Micaiah is the hider. Makai was the one that she didn't know she had in there.
Ah.
And, you know, after 7 popped out, the doctors decided to pop her open a little bit more, search around, and they found Makai.
How about that?
That is number 8.
You have
an
unusual amount of information on her.
Well, you know, I plan to be her next lover. I figured I could be like the paparazzi dude that dated Britney for a couple weeks.
Sure.
I got a little cash, a little famous. Well, this is my chance to get some money.
Yeah, you can move in, get her pregnant again, which everybody's hoping for.
Right.
And then she'll sell her story to the insider again, and then you'll get some cash.
I just need a few bucks, you know.
Now, how many people?
Tough right now.
How many people were out there on St. Patrick's Day night when she brought the two kids?
I would have to say, man, at least 250, 300 max.
And how many people were the paparazzi?
I would have to say a good 50, 60 people.
Jeez.
So by far, they were the minority. Just everybody else in the neighborhood was hanging out.
Yeah. But it's still ridiculous. I mean, the police have been around the past couple of days, and it's gotten kind of calmed down a little bit. But, you know, I mean, right now there's a couple of cars parked down the street. And,
yeah,
you know,
I was just going to ask you.
Paparazzi cars. And you know,
sure.
And you know what? This lady, Nadia, she's living pretty good. She has a really nice house, and everywhere she goes, she's being chauffeured. You know, she's driving in Lincoln Navigators and town cars, and you know, she's doing pretty good for herself. You know, I'm kind of jealous. I wish I was a woman so I could pop out 8 kids.
Yeah, but
you know, maybe make
no,
quick
you don't.
Meal.
But the problem is that she wakes up this morning and there are 14 kids in her house.
Yeah.
None of whom she's going to spend much time with because she has to go buy some makeup.
She has to go to Dr. Phil.
She has to go to Dr. Phil again.
I guess,
or Oprah.
Is Dr. Phil trying to be her next lover as well?
Dr. Phil's a prick. Don't even get me started on him.
He's funneling money to her somehow.
He said something really sick and disgusting yesterday. He said, you know, when it's all said and done, when all the kids are in there's going to be 10 boys and 4 girls living in a house.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, when they grow up, I hope any of those boys don't hit on those girls.
What?
You're a sick bastard.
God, really?
That's what he said. Well, I mean, based on the Octomom, by the way. She is going to be raising the kids. Let's not forget that influence.
Here's an exclusive for you guys.
All right.
Not too long ago, about 15, 20 minutes ago, someone showed up at the house this morning. It was a male in his mid-30s, and opened the door. It was Nadia who opened the door.
Mm-hmm.
She received him with a hug, and she walked in. Is that the Octa father? Who knows?
Good question.
Nobody knows, but someone is there this morning. You know what? We got TMZ beat. That's a K-Rock exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robert is...
Harvey. I love you, Harvey, but we got you beat.
Robert is convinced that he is going to be our man on the scene, and that's why he called up and he gave us some reports on the Afro line. Robert, I do have to suggest perhaps you get a better out, a better close, because if I remember correctly, it was, so this is K-Rock listener Robert, and you know. What was this?
What do you suggest?
Something like that. I don't know. Courage. I don't know. Something besides you know.
And you know. I think that's what it was.
And you also need to name it. It needs to be like Octomom 09.
There you go.
Something like that.
And then we could
there
play. Boom, boom,
bum, 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 bum.
Yeah.
Robert. How about,
yes.
I'm listening to Robert, and I just broke you off.
Proper-like.
You want to go proper-like, too?
I think so.
Okay.
Can you pull that off, Robert?
I think I can pull that off.
Now, how many people live in, is it a very, like, a small neighborhood? Are the houses far apart?
No, they're pretty close.
Pretty close.
They're pretty close apart.
So the paparazzi cars are in front of all of the neighbors' houses?
Pretty much. I mean, all the neighbors, everybody's pretty pissed off. I find it quite amusing because most of the people that live around here are your older folk.
Oh, good.
And this was a pretty darn quiet neighborhood up until she came.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Until you decided.
Now all these old people that, you know, wake up at 4 in the morning and go to sleep at 2 in the afternoon are up all night long, and they're crankier than hell.
Yeah, that doesn't
peeking
usually
out their
sit
windows.
Well.
Yeah.
Doesn't usually sit well. Well, what you need to do is you need to, tip one of the paparazzi out in front of your house. Make sure they give you a call every time something happens.
Yeah, you know what? I've made friends with one or two of them, and you know, they're interesting people to talk to. They live a crazy lifestyle that I would not want to live.
I would not either, but it seems like you are living it, Robert.
Well, you know what? I figured it's here in my neighborhood. I might as well give it a chance and, you know, see how fun it is. And you know what? I got to admit, it is kind of fun. I almost got ran over. I got pushed and shoved. Almost got in a fight.
Good.
A couple buddies of mine backed me up. I mean, it was nuts.
Excellent.
You know,
Why don't you? You're in front of her house still.
Okay. Yeah.
Why don't you try?
The neighbors are looking at me. The neighbors know me, and they're looking at me like, "What the hell are you doing?"
Yeah, of course.
Out in the street.
But I'm sure your neighbors hate you by now already. For other things.
It's been like this for a while. It's nothing new.
I would suggest that you walk up to the house and knock on the door and see if she opens it and welcomes you in as well. Maybe she's not particular.
You guys are crazy knocking on the poor lady's door. You know what?
I'm saying walk up and knock on the door.
Let's do this. Let's do this. Hold on. Let me. Passing the sidewalk.
All right.
Walking up the stairs, the little steps.
This is going to be your meal ticket right here, Robert. Yes. This woman's got nothing to do at this time of the morning.
Oh, my God. Kevin.
Law Harbor Police Department.
What?
What?
Hello?
Is this Robert playing?
Rob Noise. Hello?
Crazy.
There's nothing going on. There's a couple little kids looking out the window.
Oh, it's waking up the kids.
Wait a minute, Robert. You were saying you were the La Habra Police Department?
Okay, you need to leave.
All right, let me explain something to you, dumbass. You could get a lot of trouble for that, but I admire the fact that you gave it a try.
Well, that's why they call me Rob Noise. Loud, obnoxious, and informative.
All right, okay. Sure enough. He's got slogans, he's got everything. Robert, we'll check back in with you with Octomom Watch 2009.
I got to get out of here, guys.
Yes, you should.
I think so.
Don't forget K-Rock's World Tour, Destination number 6, Nine Inch Nails, and Jane's Addiction in Tel Aviv.
Shalom.
You get on the standby boarding list by scoring tickets to their show May 20th. Those tickets go on sale tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
If you'd like to buy them, but you can win them here on the world-famous K-Rock. Time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. Not sure what's going on with this particular one. Okay, excellent.
Stop playing it and go play!
Not a fan.
No can do, sorry. No can do. This dude, he fought a valiant battle, but in the end, he ended up losing.
The fear won this time. So ashamed. He was on my legs, man.
Oh.
It really, really stunk.
No. No.
Fear won. That dude, nothing.
Hi, Ralph. I bought something today, and I just had to call and tell you about it. Maybe you can come over and help me with it. It's my brand new, bright, shiny, red hummingbird feeder. Call me.
He loves hummingbirds.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Unnaturally.
Yeah.
Damn, that is some tragic news about Liam Neeson's wife. I am so sorry to hear it. I think I'll take my wife skiing this weekend, though.
All right. Thank you for the call. Maybe a little early.
Yeah.
Maybe tragedy plus time.
Comedy.
Is what you should be using for that instead of just...
Hey, Ralph. You know what I got to say to you, pal? I got to fist to pummel you. Stop singing those goddamn songs. Because you suck and Eddie Money does too. To fist to pummel you.
I got to tell you, I've been trying to get Ralph to stop that since the beginning, but... Based on that song, I think he should continue.
I'm with you.
That guy earned about 5 more. F him for that weak effort.
That's awful.
This dude just got out of prison, and he's trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
Hey, yo, I just got the joint with those Kenneth and Bean. Bring back Paul Man. Where's Paul Man at?
You're looking like that
question.
Every day. I'll tell you that. Favorite sports announcer is in the NHL in Florida. He does hockey, and he says he shoots, he scores, and then he says usually a line from a movie.
Ballard. Quick try, shoots, he scores! Ball! The meatloaf!
He shoots, he scores! Yeah, Eric.
Yeah! That's a movie.
We got that announcer on Monday morning, by the way, Randy Muller. We're going to talk to him and perhaps suggest some other movie lines for him to use.
Okay. Stillman right out in front, he shoots, he scores! Make me a bicycle clown!
He fires the puck. He shoots. He scores! Rich green pleather, bright yellow hair. My sentence structure is beyond compare.
See, he's mocking me because the Kevin and Bean theme song, team song.
Our team song.
What is it? Rich green pleather, bright yellow hair. My sentence structure is beyond compare. Kevin's the name. Don't wear it out. I already forgot what I was talking about. All right, good. And finally, it's on. It is so unbelievably, irreversibly on.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. I just wanted to give you guys a call and let you know how much of a gay tool Psycho Mike is. First of all, he does not deserve to be the homecoming king of North Hollywood or wherever the hell he is trying to be the homecoming king of West. And have Mr. Belding come and crown him or whatever, because he doesn't even know where the sprain came from. First of all, it was not A.C. Slater, you moron. It was Lisa. Get your stupid story straight. You don't even know what's going on. You don't even deserve it. Anyways, if you guys would like to call me back, I would challenge the moron to any type of Saved by the Bell trivia. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Wow.
My money's on her.
It's on.
Wow.
My money's on her.
Let's do it.
She will serve you.
Yeah. Listen, I already apologized for the mistake I made.
But you made it,
but even
it, man.
Gold Glove center fielders drop a fly ball every once in a while. It's on, bitch.
I don't know if you've been following the news. It's pretty depressing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Every day, there's more bad news.
Economic times are hard. The bailout is happening. $170 billion went to AIG, which is a giant insurance company.
Yeah.
And then they turned around and handed out $160 million, $165 million in bonuses.
Because they're doing such a good job.
So that seems to rub people the wrong way just a little bit. Here's our president.
I know a lot of you are outraged about this. Rightfully so, I'm outraged too. It's hard to understand that a company that's relying on extraordinary assistance from taxpayers to keep its doors open would be paying anybody lavish bonuses. It goes against our most basic sense of what's fair and what's right. It offends our values.
He didn't go far enough, though, I don't think. I like the senator from Iowa.
Yeah.
Who suggested this?
The first thing that would make me feel a little bit better towards them, if they'd follow the Japanese example and come before the American people and take that deep bow and say, I'm sorry, and then either do one of two things, resign or go commit suicide.
Yeah. That's right. Now we're talking.
That'd make them feel a little better.
Got the senator from Iowa on the line. Senator Grassley, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Great.
So AIG... $170 billion in government bailout, $165 million in bonuses.
Yeah, can you imagine that?
No,
I mean,
can't.
What, if you were operating a business and you needed money to keep your business operating, would you be handing out giant bonuses to your employees?
I don't think so.
It sure doesn't seem like it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It seems completely ill-advised and an insult to the American taxpayer.
Now, when you talk about the Japanese culture, are people misunderstanding what you're saying?
No.
They're not, okay?
I want these AIG executives to kill themselves.
Okay.
All right.
And I'd like to watch.
I would like to watch that as well.
Yeah.
All right.
I'd like them to kill themselves and then apologize. Well, maybe not in that order.
Yeah, you can't do it in that order, but yeah, maybe apologize and then fall on their sword.
Yeah, and then yesterday some of these guys say, well, a lot of the people are volunteering to give up a small portion of those bonuses, return them to the company.
That's
small,
big of them.
A small portion of them.
Right.
I mean, these people are infuriating.
They really are.
Yeah.
They really are.
And there's a lot of people in America who are outraged, and I think rightly so. And I'm outraged as well, and I think it's time for us to start getting tough on a-holes in America.
All right.
Not just these AIGs, but I'm passing some new legislation that I think will make this country a better country and people be more responsible for their actions.
Fantastic. Responsibility. I like it.
For example, if you're in line at the post office and the person in front of you at the window is buying stamps but says to the person serving them, let me see what different kinds of stamps you have. That person should get a prostate exam with a parking meter. That would cure that problem.
That seems a little...
Have any with flowers on them? Screw you!
That seems like maybe it's a little smaller of an issue, though, than
you've never been behind that guy, I guess.
Well, I have, but I'm just saying $165 million in bonuses, maybe a little worse than that.
No, this is wide-reaching. This is all kinds of behavior across America.
Okay, all right.
Women drivers who leave their turn signals on in the fast lane of a freeway.
Right.
Making a left.
Yeah.
A left turn signal.
on the left lane.
On the fast lane.
Yeah.
When there's just a concrete divider there.
Right.
Going. Miles. That flash. They should get a crazy glue douche.
What are you talking about?
That's what I'm saying. We don't want them procreating.
Why just women?
Because they're all women do it.
Oh,
wow.
Come on.
Women, dumb women do it.
Senator, you must not be running for re-election.
I am.
No, you are. Okay.
But I want the angry vote.
Okay.
If you're in a movie theater and someone starts texting.
Yes.
I'm passing legislation to make it completely legal to set them on fire.
I'm with you on that one.
Me too.
If they want to cause an annoying glow in a movie theater, let it be their flesh burning. Let that happen.
I love that.
Make it so. If you have over 10 items in the express checkout lane at a supermarket,
you can't do that.
You will be force-fed your liter bottle of Mountain Dew while it's still in the bottle.
Wow.
I will take it down your throat.
That does not seem good.
I will do it. Do not mess with me.
Right. I guess that's the message.
Don't do it.
You don't think you're a little out of line on this one?
Okay.
What? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
How many ones in 106? What? 19.
Some of the people in the other room shouted hey in my headphones.
Oh, yeah. See?
So now that's
happening. You got
paid. Because I can keep stuff straight well enough without that happening. That's
yes.
For sure. I need to be thrown off.
Yes.
6:51, we are going to talk to Nicolas Cage when we come back about Knowing, the new movie that
more
comes
of
out
a
tomorrow.
Knowing Protector.
And Phil Kogan, the host of Amazing Race, also in the 7 o'clock hour. Right now it's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Are we really going to talk to Nick Cage, or am I going to do Nick Cage?
I believe we're going to talk to Nick Cage.
Wow.
But if he doesn't come through.
That's correct. Then we'll have Dave do it. And then if he can't do it, then we'll have you do it.
Dave. NBC is just becoming the reality network. I'll tell you, more and more reality shows showing up on NBC. Have you seen this thing, the chopping block?
No.
They have?
A chopping block?
About a testy chef who takes a lot of people who wants to be chefs and tries to train them.
Oh, a long time. How many of these shows can you have?
Fresh. When you have one, you
that
get 10.
That is a fresh show. That's a fresh idea.
Are all chefs a-holes? I mean, is that where they're drawing
the
from?
The interesting ones are, apparently. Well, now NBC has announced their new reality show called, wait for it, The Sing-Off.
The Sing-Off.
Yes.
And that would be American Idol-esque?
Why do you say that, Kevin? Just because people will be singing against each other to win a grand prize and the judges decide who sings better than other people?
That's the description of it?
Yes.
Wow.
But the difference in this one is it's a cappella singing.
Oh, great.
You know those bands, they like four guys get together and do all the harmonies and stuff, and they sing a cappella?
Right. Like barbershop
without
quartet
music.
Style
yeah,
stuff?
Exactly. Well, not barbershop quartet, but, you know, they do all the harmonies and stuff together without having any musical accompaniment whatsoever.
Right.
That's the twist.
Groups or just single singers or both?
Groups, I believe. Groups, yes.
Yeah. No. I'm going to go with no.
But they sing a cappella.
Right, I know. I'm out.
But there's no music behind them when they sing.
What songs are they singing?
All kinds of songs.
Famous ones from the 60s and 70s that are
all
bad?
All kinds of songs.
I'm out. I don't do karaoke unless I'm drunk.
It doesn't sound good.
It's not karaoke. They just sing it like just them recreating the sound. Man.
Yeah.
It's even worse than that.
You don't get it.
I don't get it. You're right.
Speaking of singing, I love country music. You know that.
Sure.
And one of the reasons I happen to love them is the country music fans.
Well, they are special.
They're just a great group of people as a whole.
They're good people.
There's a bunch of holes. Martina McBride, familiar with that name? She's a big country singer.
I know of her.
Several
I don't know
people
her music.
Did her songs on American Idol the other night.
Female country singer, apparently, I don't know anything about her, but apparently very popular.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. She's made a mistake regarding her fan base. She gave an interview to Out.com, which is an online magazine directed at the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And in that interview, she preaches tolerance.
Okay.
Oh, dear God.
She says, honestly, I have to do what I believe is right for me, and I would tell people what I believe is that tolerance is very important.
Okay.
I have three daughters, and that's what I teach them. I think we all need to be tolerant of each other and embrace each other's strengths and differences and uniqueness and beauty. Well, the country music fan message boards are blowing up this week after reading her interview.
I'm sorry. She's preaching tolerance.
Yes.
And people don't think that's okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Let me read you some of the... someone sent this article. It's just spectacular. Let me read you some of the quotes from the message board, okay? Mm-hmm. This country music message board. Much like the Dixie Chicks, why doesn't she just shut up and sing? That was one. That was a good one.
Good.
This one is from another reader. It says, she, along with all other parents, must teach their children that turning gay is a choice and is not acceptable in today's society. And
especially
lastly,
today's society.
Today's society, by all means. And lastly, I can't believe someone did it. Matthew Mason is his name. God bless him. The Almighty God created Adam and Eve Not Adam and Steve,
no,
Martina.
He did not.
He pulled that one out.
He didn't, though.
Give that guy a prize.
That did not happen.
That's spectacular. So
that's our country, people.
I feel bad for Martina McBride.
Wow.
She went as bold as to say we should tolerate people.
She does not know her audience.
I don't know this Project Runway show. Mike, you watch Project Runway, don't you?
I do, yeah.
I do, too.
You do, Lisa? Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with Kenley Collins?
Yeah. Show Mike the picture. He'll know who she is.
Kenley Collins. This little...
Yeah.
She looks sort of like that. Who was that pinup from the 50s? That famous pinup? Betty Page, Betty, right?
Yes, and that was who she was trying to look
a very
like.
Betty Page-esque kind of young lady. She was arrested this week.
For what?
For attacking her former fiancé with a cat.
Yeah!
What?
Wow.
According to legal documents... broke into her ex-fiancé's apartment around 7 a.m. Tuesday morning and attacked him while he slept by throwing a cat in his face.
Sweet!
When he tried to leave the room, she chased him and slammed the bedroom door on his head.
Wow.
Then she hoisted his laptop in the air, shouting, "I'll do it," and threw it at him. Then she threw a bushel of apples at him and a glass of water in his face. When it was over, she hissed, "You're lucky it could have been worse." Police were called, and she was arrested on the scene.
Wow. A bushel of apples?
A bushel of apples.
Where do they live?
In Vermont. Hey, Gene Simmons is eating something, and he's here.
Hi, Gene.
Speaking of throwing a cat on someone's face.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Gene. Oh,
let's see where that's going.
She is a little crazy.
Do you think?
A little?
Well, more than I thought, but on the show she was a little crazy, too.
She attacked a dude with a cat.
Yeah.
Who even thinks of that?
How does that happen? We had Mark Burnett in here yesterday, and I will never forgive myself.
Why?
Because I feel like the guy that could have stopped Hitler, who could have taken Hitler out in Berlin like early 30s.
And didn't. What is it that he's doing that we could have stopped?
Today, the Hollywood Reporter has announced that Mark Burnett Productions has just signed a deal with Audrina Patridge for her own reality series.
Oh, he didn't tell us
he didn't give us that little morsel yesterday.
Sweet!
Wow.
Shame on him.
The show will follow her personal and professional life.
What professional life?
I don't know.
Wow.
Going around getting signed for reality show deals, I guess. That's not right.
Wow.
Screw him.
She's the least interesting of any of them. She has nothing to say.
I know.
That's just not good.
And she's got those giant bunny teeth.
She's a whore, okay?
But we had the chance. We could
have
stopped
her. We didn't have the information. We didn't know.
I know.
What Hitler was going to do.
That's right. We said, at the time, we thought Hitler was just a frustrated artist. And maybe... John Mayer wasn't to blame for breaking up with Jennifer Aniston. Now that I get more information.
She's too cute and sweet.
No, but wait, Lisa.
What?
Star Magazine is saying that, according to a friend of John Mayer's, recently, Jennifer Aniston mistakenly called him Brad when they were in bed together.
Nice.
That's a deal breaker, right?
You know, if that's really true...
Which it isn't.
They've been apart a long time.
Right.
That would be very disturbing.
How long have they been separate about him, though?
I mean, in the first year, you could understand.
She still thinks about him. She's got her battery-operated boyfriend out. Brad. That's all I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthday, actress Glenn Close is 62 years old today.
Whew. Yeah.
Wow. She looks dried out.
Aww.
She does, I'm just saying. She looks crunchy. You see her on that Damages show on FX? She looks moisture deprived. Mm-hmm. I'm not even saying, you know.
You're right.
She's great on that show.
But I'm not even saying dried out in like any sort of sexual term. She just looks like she needs a drink of water.
You're right.
She looks a little mummified.
Her hair's kind of like.
She's a little crunchy. Her hair's crispy. Her skin looks a little flaky. I want to oil her up. That's what I want to do.
Oh.
Nobody's wanted to do that for quite some time.
Bruce Willis is 54 years old today. Zach Lind from Jimmy Eat World celebrates his 33rd birthday, and actress Rachel Blanchard is 33 as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Matt Money Smith on the program next hour talking about March Madness. Very excited about that. Starts today.
You have your bracket filled out?
Working on it.
Yeah.
Working on it. I was watching President Obama's
sheet of integrity.
President Obama's bracket. Did you see that?
Boy knows his, knows his college football.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to follow him. Also later this hour with Phil Kogan, the host of Amazing Race.
Mm-hmm. Right, brother.
Which is fantastic. That show is so good. And right now we're going to talk to Nicolas Cage about his movie Knowing. I mean in a couple of minutes.
We don't have him on the phone yet?
Not quite, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this does look good. It's one of those deals where they put a time capsule in the ground 50 years ago or whatever, and then it turns out to be all bad.
Yeah. There are certain film genres that I'm a sucker for. One is any sort of heist or caper movie. Another one is any sort of vampire film, except for Twilight.
Yes.
And another is any sort of apocalyptic gloom and doom, sort of the world is coming to an end.
And this one looks good.
You understand that I'm a person who is totally at ease with this.
A special ops surgeon gave me Kester's face!
You're treasure hunters, aren't you?
We're more like treasure protectors. Treasure protectors.
I'm the only one who can walk in both worlds. I'm Ghost Rider.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. I feel like my skull's on fire, but I'm good.
Nicolas Cage, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me back on your show.
Absolutely. Good to have you again. Tell us about Knowing. Tell us how you came to be a part of this movie. Did they send you the script and were you the first one in, or did they come to you with a cast and a director and everything else?
Well, actually, I got a note from the director, Alex Proyas, that he was interested in doing this with me, and then I was sent the script, and it was something that I immediately connected with. Because I love the story of the father and the son, and also because I wanted to keep exploring science fiction. And so those two elements together are the reason why I decided to make the movie with Alex.
Now, the premise of the film is your son in the film discovers a sheet of numbers in a time capsule that's been buried for 50 years.
He discovers a sheet of numbers in a time capsule from 50 years ago, and the numbers correspond to tragedies, disasters that are about to occur, and the longitude and the latitude of where the disaster will take place and the amount of people that will die. And at first I think it's just a very strange perhaps joke or some kind of strange prank, and then it starts to unfold that these things indeed are happening, and then I have to understand why or what to do about it to protect my son. And it's a very suspenseful movie.
And you shot this in Australia, right?
I shot this all in Australia, okay, in a place called Melbourne, Australia. And I was there for about 4 months making the movie. And it's meant to be New England, Boston, but we shot it in Australia.
And I was reading that there's a plane crash scene in the movie, and that there are stunt guys that are on fire, running around on fire. And I read an interview with you saying that you wanted to make sure you didn't screw that up because you didn't want them to have to go and light themselves on fire again.
Well, that's true. If you see the movie, I'm not acting. I'm really scared for these people. That's what they do. And I felt personally responsible for it.
Nicolas, when you're doing science fiction, is there more pressure on you as an actor to keep yourself grounded and to keep things real in order to give the movie a sense of reality versus when you're playing a more realistic script?
Yes. That was the main concern. Alex and Rose and I and Chandler, we all wanted the performances to seem almost documentary in style so that it would be rooted in naturalism and make your experience all the more powerful when you see things get more extraordinary. Mm-hmm. So it was like a choice to make it more believable for you. Science fiction is really one of the only ways that an actor can go into the abstract and still connect with audiences, because I think audiences are willing to go on that ride if they know they're going into a science fiction genre. The challenge is how believable can you make it as things become more and more paranormal.
How many scripts are there out there for science fiction movies? Is the market just full of hundreds of them and you got to go through them every day and you can't find a good one? Are there very few that come along?
Science fiction is challenging. There are very few good ones. Because for science fiction to really work, in my opinion, it has to be intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
It can't just be schlock. It's got to It's got to stand up or symbolize something else. And so to find something that I could really apply myself to is difficult because there aren't very many good science fiction scripts.
It seems like this film.
I grew up reading H.G. Wells and Jules Verne, and you know I love that kind of genre. So to find something like Knowing to me was an opportunity I couldn't resist.
It seems like the focus of the script also, Nick, is the relationship between you and your son as a father yourself. Is that something else that resonated with you when you read it?
Yeah, because I grew up with my father really raising three boys, and my mother, she, for whatever the reason, wasn't always able to be there. And then later on in my own life, my relationship with my first son was very much that archetype of single father and son, and it's still a beautiful family dynamic. I think families should try to stay together, but that particular dynamic is what it was, and I wanted to express that in a movie, that just because you're a man doesn't mean you can't raise a kid if you find yourself in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you talk about
so that's another part that appealed to me to the Knowing script.
Now, when you talk about this script and you talk about the sheet of numbers and how they relate to dates and history and all that kind of stuff, there are math geeks out there who love worship numbers. Do you get any input from them? Are they online going, hey, this couldn't work this way because the number four squared is blah, blah, blah? You hear that?
I'm sure they are doing that right now somewhere in cyberspace. I haven't been tracking it.
Good.
But I'm confident that could be going on. And I do like numbers. I must admit they intimidate me. They've always been kind of overwhelming for me in school, but I think that numbers are the universal language and that the language of the universe.
I think I'm going to go with love over numbers. Yeah. I think I'm going to choose love, if you don't mind, as the universal language. Well, this looks fantastic. Knowing is the name of the movie. Nicolas Cage is the star. It comes out tomorrow, and it looks like a good science fiction ride.
Mm-hmm. I hope you like it.
Very excited about it.
Nicolas, as the resident comic book fan here on the show, I couldn't forgive myself. I didn't ask you how much. First of all, I really enjoyed the work you did on Voodoo with your son. I thought it was a great book.
Thanks a lot.
And I was wondering if there's any more comic book work for you in the future. I know you're a fan. I wonder if you have any more ideas.
Well, at some point to get a script for Voodoo Child, and we'll see what happens. We're meaning my son and I are still waiting for that to be put together, but we're hopeful it will be.
And did you see that an issue of Action Comics number one with Superman sold for over $317,000 this week?
I heard something about it. I wasn't involved with it, but it was not as high as I would have guessed.
Really? You would have thought it was more than that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Nick sold off a huge collection of comic books not too long ago, and so I thought you might be interested in that number.
went down.
All right, Nicolas Cage, thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show again. The movie again is Knowing, and it opens tomorrow in theaters everywhere. Thanks, Nick.
All right,
Phil, you're going to have to put on your headphones, dude. You can't just fall asleep.
I'm not going to fall asleep.
Put on your headphones.
I just didn't sleep.
I'm a little
worried
about you.
I'm worried about me.
Stressed.
You're worried about me. I'm worried about me.
Everyone is.
Phil Kogan, the host of The Amazing Race, which is in season 14 now.
That's
on
crazy.
Sundays at 8 on CBS is here. He's tired because he's planning on riding his bicycle across America.
Well, you know what? The organizing of the bike ride across America is more tiring than the training for the bike ride across America. And last night, about 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up in a mad panic and started to think about all the things I still had to do.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And I was adding up the budget, and I was thinking, anyway, it's getting close now because we're, I'm a week out or something, and you see my ear.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I end up at the doctor yesterday. He says, oh, you've got a perforated eardrum.
How'd you do that?
From what?
From I got caught in the rain on a 7-hour ride a few weeks ago with my friend Ben. And it just sort of got worse. And then yesterday he looks me in the eye and he goes, he's a really serious doctor. He's a specialist. He looks me in the eye and goes, okay, no exercise.
Oh, good.
And I went, oh, well, I was just about to bike across America. And he went, ha, 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 that's very funny.
Excellent.
And I wasn't joking.
Right. And then did you...
And then I didn't know what to say. I was like, how do you now convince him? Well, I'm not actually kidding. I am going to go on a 3,600-mile bike ride across America. So
how
then
does
I
that
woke
affect
up-
your ear?
What did you say?
See what he did?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. No, but it's really bad. It's really bad. My wife is like, you're like an old man. I can't. My daughter's yelling out to me. She's yelling out to me. I'm probably yelling into the microphone.
You are a
right
bit.
Now. I'm sorry.
You're speaking louder than usual. That
just
is true.
Just crush me down. Yeah.
In the middle of the night last night, I woke up and said, I'm sure glad I'm not riding across America on a bike. Because that seems like a bad plan. You're going to go.
I really appreciate your support.
The furthest I ever rode on a bike, I think, was 27, 28 miles one way.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Spent the night, came back the next day.
Did you have any kind of protection, any padding or anything?
Not a thing. No,
nothing.
And that was really dumb.
Yeah, your butt was sore.
Really stupid.
You definitely got to think about the cutout seat
right.
to protect certain regions.
Sure. Right?
And I was introduced to a cream. And there's so many different creams out there. There's this, you know, butt butter. There's this Bordeaux's butt paste.
Did you say butt butter and butt paste?
Yeah, there's like it's like a whole new world of creams that I didn't know existed. And you start off single dipping, you know, into the cream.
Right.
My friend Howard, the Hebrew Hammer, introduced me to ASOS, which is this Swedish sort of, or it's a Swiss cream, and it stops the chafing. And you get you're tentative at the beginning, but by the end of it, you just reach in there and
you're just sitting in it.
You're like full on application. Yeah, I have no shame in that area now.
You have made bad decisions along the way. Anytime your life turns to butt butter.
Yes.
I mean, right there you go, doing something wrong.
Yeah, there must be something wrong with this.
All right. Why are you riding your bicycle across America?
Okay. My friend Mitch, who's over at CBS, who does CBS publicity, he and I were brainstorming some ideas about doing some publicity for Amazing Race.
Right.
And I drove across America with my dad a few years ago, and we wanted to up the ante. And it wasn't enough to drive across America 10 days, 10 cities, 4,000 miles. We decided this time, I said, oh, well, I could ride. And he went, you would ride? And I went, yeah, sure, I'd ride. And then it was sort of out there. And then
you thought about it again and realized.
Well,
it was
I didn't. Really.
No, because
I'm not that smart.
You know, until you're in the middle of it,
yeah.
You don't really think about it.
I do
as much as you need to make an informed decision.
I'm going to tell you right now. I could have been in that meeting and said, "No, I was just kidding."
But you're much smarter than me. Wow. Tremendously smart. I, on the other hand, tend to sort of go with crazy ideas. Not so smart. Takes a little while for the synapses to really fire and for things to really digest. And so it started to build momentum. GNC came on and said, hey, we'll sponsor you. MS Society said, hey, we love, you know, you being part of our MS rides. We'll help you organize MS rides. And then more and more people started to come on board.
Is it a charity thing?
Well, we're doing a number of things.
Uh-huh.
Yes, absolutely. We're raising awareness for the MS Society. They're organizing some rides.
So those people will ride along with you
at various points along the way. They're going to join.
See, that's more for me. I come out there, I'll ride like two blocks with you, and then peel off. And
well,
I'll
tell
home.
You what's so appealing about that is that the emails that I'm getting from people who know that I'm actually going to do this, like, it's so extraordinary. That's what really keeps me going.
And how much fun will that be for you to have people come and join you, too?
The MS rides are extremely well organized.
Yeah.
And then I have this product this food that I've been eating called a one square meal, and I'm bringing it to America through GNC. So there was another reason to like get out there and market that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love the idea of promoting just bike riding in general because it in these economic times, good for your waistline, good for your wallet. 40% of all transportation of the driving that we do is under 2 miles. 40%. A bicycle makes a lot of sense, and a lot more people are turning to bicycles because it's tough times.
Right.
So I wanted to promote more of that, speak to mayors and say, hey, make some safe bikeways for kids to be able to bike to school. 50% of kids bike to school in 64. Only 4% are biking to school in the last statistic that I got in 2004. 4%. So
Isn't that amazing? Because I did when I was a kid.
I did too. And now kids are getting, they're either driving to school by themselves. So it's about promoting that. It's about promoting a healthy lifestyle.
How many days is it going to take you to go across America?
It's going to take me, the total period is 40 days.
Okay.
I have 36 100-mile rides.
On day three, when you've gone 120 miles.
And I've dipped out all my ASOS.
Right.
And butt butter.
Your butt butter is gone.
And you call me up and say, hey, Phil, don't worry about it. I got you covered.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Send you a shipment. You're not going to give me
I'll send you butt butter.
Okay.
I'm just suggesting you wouldn't want to apply it. That's all.
Yes.
All right. So you're going to do this next Friday. You're going to be at the...
I'm going to be at a GNC store.
Which one?
I've got the address there. I think I gave it to you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fox Hills Mall, 229 Fox Hills Mall, Culver City.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to be at that GNC, and I'm going to be talking about the ride. I'll be signing some books. I'll be, you know, meeting people. And then on this Saturday, people can join me for the ride. If you go to PhilRidesAcrossAmerica.com.
Okay.
PHIL.
Yeah, PHIL, so PhilRidesAcrossAmerica.com. You'll see everything about the ride. We're like loading up more and more information as we go along, and you know,
is there time to pull out of it yet? Are you still have you left yourself a window?
Right now, I'm so committed.
Okay.
To going.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going.
Can I check in with you on Monday to see how that's working out for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm.
You're in.
If you have any suggestions for how
don't
I can actually go into a deep sleep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I do have a lot of those suggestions.
Yeah.
By the way. I don't think it's something a guy like you would use, but we'll talk about that off the air.
Okay.
Phil's Ride Across America starts next Saturday. The Amazing Race 14 is on, which I love. And
season is fantastic.
It's great.
It's really good.
I have many questions for you about this show,
yeah.
But we need to take a quick break.
Not a problem.
And Phil Kogan is in the studio with us. He is the host of The Amazing Race in its 14th season.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's hard to believe for me, because this radio station is owned ultimately by CBS.
Yes.
And they are risk averse with us. They do not. We tried to tase one of our employees. They said no. I mean, they don't want us to even.
No tasing?
Push them. You guys are out there
tasing?
Running them across the country, the world.
Flying
pieces of cheese.
Giant balls of cheese they have to wrestle down the hill on their backs, and then they got to run in their underwear through, you know, 1 degree. What the hell?
Yeah.
You're using up all of our danger.
All the tolerance.
Yes.
All of CBS's tolerances are being used up, and then you guys, they lock you in here, don't they?
That's correct.
Yeah,
yes.
Basically.
You're locked in here.
That is correct.
That's why there's bars on these windows.
Now, all of these contestants for The Amazing Race, it's really funny how they start out. The prize is $1 million,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. They start out kind of making friendships and trying to get along with people. And then at some point, everybody kind of has to go their own way. And it seems like each season, someone is always shocked that these people that they thought they could count on we're no longer their friends, and you can't count on anymore because they just left us and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
it seems like they don't see that coming ever.
Yeah, I don't get that. I've been doing this blog, and people keep writing to me, and they're saying, how could the team use the blind U-turn and turn around another team? And I'm thinking, what are you talking about?
It's a game.
It's a game,
yeah.
And there's a tool that you can use that is perfectly within the rules,
mm-hmm.
And why are you shocked that somebody would turn somebody around to slow them down because, did somebody mention that there's $1 million
right.
at the other end of the line?
That's part of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I love the spirit of good, fair competition, but using the elements of the game, that is part of fair competition. So, yes, I think...
I think this clip that I have is of Amanda and Chris, I think.
Okay.
And they're the ones who came in last, Dave, is that right? I don't know, you don't watch the show, Phil, but...
I believe they're the last ones eliminated.
This is them getting U-turn. There's a U-turn thing like Phil was just talking about, blind U-turn, and they had to go back, and because of that, they came in last. And they were so upset by that.
Yeah, there was Luke and Margie.
You've been nothing but so nice to everyone.
I know, stupid.
Yeah, Luke and Margie decided to turn them around. And Luke and Margie, that's the mother and the son, and Luke is deaf, and
mm-hmm.
So they have this special way of communicating literally with their own sign language that is, you know, anybody else who would speak signs sometimes wouldn't even be able to understand all of their signs. And, yeah, so they decided to turn them around, and Amanda and Chris obviously thought that was unsportsmanlike.
Right, which is always funny to me because
that's part of the game.
To win the $1 million, you're going to have to beat everyone else, and everyone else is going to have to lose.
It was such a good move because they also helped their friends, I believe the airline.
Christy and Jody.
Yeah, and they helped them survive.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was a perfect move by Luke.
Yeah, now here's Phil in Russia, and I'm going to suggest that these places don't exist. I'm just going to put that out there.
Okay.
And I want you to hear him tell.
Teams must now ride the Trans-Siberian Railroad across nearly 400 miles of frozen tundra to the city of Novosibirsk. Once there, they must race to the Punk Technique Cheskova at Smotra, where they'll find their next clue.
Okay, come on. Those places do not exist.
Punk Technique Cheskova.
This would be my nightmare as an announcer. That would take me a day and a half to say.
Can I tell you the Punk Technique Cheskova?
Now you're just showing off.
We have the most unbelievable discussions about pronunciations because if you remember the gymnast, Nadia Comăneci, right? Mm-hmm. Which is right. How we know it. When we got to the gym where we were shooting in Romania, they said, no, it's not Comăneci, it's Comăneci. And then somebody said, no, it's Comăneci. So even
people there.
Even people in a particular country will pronounce things a different way. Like when you're in New Zealand, New Zealand pronunciations, they vary. Mm-hmm. And then so a lot of times we ended up having to go with what is the common pronunciation, like what will not throw people off. Now, those kinds of pronunciations, we can basically say anything we want.
Right. But, they don't know.
No. But in all seriousness, it's a lot of debates, a lot of phone calls, a lot of going back and forth, trying to make sure that we get it close because, you know, people.
Well, it's like San Pedro. I mean, every place has that.
Yeah.
Well, no,
San Pedro, you think you could just go there?
But those places. Well,
my name, Cogan, which is Irish, people pronounce Keegan, Keogan, Cogan, all the rest of it.
I did that all this week when promoting your appearance.
And you know what? My friend Ben, who I'm riding with today, training with, he says, hey, you got to tell those guys to say your name right. I said, well, how do you say my name right anyway? Because when I went to Ireland, they went, you call yourself Cogan? I went, yeah. He said, no, it's Keoghan.
Don't say your own name right.
So now I don't even say my own name right.
So then you guys, you're in Russia and you have them running in their underwear, and I found that particularly funny.
I had no idea that I was going to leave on my thong and run through Russia.
Mm. Ah! I can't believe I'm doing this. Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
I imagine the people of Russia have to come up to you and say thank you very much for that.
Thank you for bringing the thong women to
When
the
was
country.
The last time in the snow there that they saw somebody running in their underwear?
Well, it's...
And it was a mile and a half?
Yeah, it was a mile and a half until we got to the theater, or until they got to the theater. And yes, they were running around in thongs and limited articles of clothing.
Yes.
Mm. You don't want to run in a thong, by the way. I went hiking in a thong once. That's brutal.
Really?
That's a big mistake.
The girl in the thong does Chafing. Have... She does. Yeah. You need the butt
Think
butter.
About it. Yeah
I'm
butt
thinking
butter.
About it right now.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah. I'm guessing...
They did have to blur out her ass.
Yes.
That girl, they had to blur out her ass as
well,
she ran.
Which is ridiculous, but I mean...
I agree.
I think, you know, the blurring of nakedness is always, I always find crazy.
As do we.
Yeah, but...
We're scared of nudity here, though. Very scared.
Although if it was a guy, you wouldn't necessarily have to,
well,
right?
Well, I hope you would.
Because that's just funny.
Unless it was disarmingly distracting. You know what I mean? Like, unless it was something that he might trip over and you were like, oh, well, we really better cover this up.
Now, Phil, you wore your underwear.
I did. I started the stand-up where you see my head and the scarf, so it looked like I'm dressed for the cold. And then when I said that the teams, and I was given the instructions about what the teams had to do, I had the cameraman zoom out and reveal that I was standing there in my underwear. Mm-hmm. And that started like this whole online like discussion of, oh, Phil wears boxer briefs. And I'm like,
really?
I had no idea it would stir such an interest. I mean, yes, I do, and I have many reasons why I wear boxer briefs.
But they didn't like that, or they
No,
did,
they loved it. Many people did, and other people were like, oh, well, we were wondering what he wore.
Who are those people? Who are the people that have that kind of time to go,
well, they work in the...
I don't ever wonder that about anyone.
they work in the underwear industry. There's a lot of them.
All right.
And they're out there. No, boxers, not good.
Boxers, not good. Right.
Too much dingle dangle.
Right. If you have anything down there, you can't wear boxers.
Correct.
Right.
And then the tidy whitey look is just wrong.
Well, it doesn't look good, but some of us, I have tidy whiteys with duct tape. I need both.
Wow.
Just to kind of strap things out.
You poor man. How do you walk?
Duct tape? It's very
difficult. Where does a duct tape go?
Everywhere. Just to hold things in.
Yeah. Wow.
I think that's
wrong. I just got to voice my opinion. I think it's wrong.
And speaking of wrong, we have one last question for you about The Amazing Race. And this is Dave, the King of Mexico, who's in here with us.
I love The Amazing Race, but I have one huge problem with it.
Uh-oh.
Why isn't it broadcast in high definition? Every other CBS show is in HD.
Every day.
Yet The Amazing Race and all its awesome scenery, not in HD. We have the stupid pillar boxes. It's shrunken to fit.
Has anybody ever been in here and pleaded the fifth?
Yes. Sure. I don't usually believe it, but yeah, you don't know.
No, I am.
We wondered if it was
I would love to see it in HD. I'm going to say that. My personal opinion, I would love to see it in HD.
If any show should be in HD, it's
does it take special cameras or something?
Well,
is that the problem?
Over the years, one of the challenges is we have relied on cameras from other countries. And so if you go to India, for instance, and you tap into resources that they have, or you go to another country, it's a logistical thing. It's not like, you know, say Survivor, where they go to one place, they can bring all the equipment to one place.
Right.
That's just one reason. I mean,
but this doesn't sound that doesn't sound like our problem. That's what I'm saying.
I would like to say
I'd like to see it in high.
I would like to say that I agree with you. Okay. I believe it should
make
be
it happen
in HD.
Don't agree. Make it happen.
I wish that I had the power.
Oh, Phil.
You do have the power.
I do?
Yes, you do.
I'm giving it to you.
Make that part of your ride. Don't you
hold, give me the power.
Don't you hold seminars on
taking the power?
Yes.
You know what I'm going to do?
Season 15.
You've motivated me. I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to call Les Moonves, and I'm going to say, Mr. Moonves, can we make this happen?
And he's going to say, who's
and
this?
He probably will.
You can tell him, Dave, the King of Mexico, said it needs to be in HD.
He's
Season
the
15.
King.
Okay.
He is the King of Mexico.
You know, Les is a reasonable man, and I will appeal to him.
Okay.
All right.
How's that?
Wouldn't that be something if you made that happen,
Dave?
I didn't
think that was going to turn around
it's
so gonna
fast. It's going to happen.
And you will get the credit forever.
I will.
Yeah.
Wow. Phil Kogan.
That's the one.
Kogan.
Yeah.
The Amazing Race 14 season is fantastic. Sunday's at 8 on CBS, and then next Friday, he is going to be at the GNC in Culver City. And then next Saturday, he's going to start riding his bicycle across America.
Yes. PhilRidesAcrossAmerica.com, and I'll be riding across the country all the way to New York. And if people would love to join me for any portion of it or come out on one of the MS rides, I would love to have them with me.
That's great.
And, you know, like Blythe, are you just going to get in the car and have them take you 200, 300 miles?
That's the idea.
Honestly.
Yeah, we've got it all mapped
out.
He's
got it planned at night.
Get out of the city.
I got a special van, and basically, you just duck off. We did the whole thing through Google Maps, and we just duck off, throw the bike in the back of the van, drive 95 miles.
Fly to Chicago.
And then just 5 miles to go.
And stock up on butt butter, which I didn't think I was going to say when I came in today, but all right.
Sometimes. Next time I come in, I'm bringing you some.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't promise you're going to use it, but all right.
Yeah, no, listen, once you've tried it once, you'll be a fan for life.
Okay.
Yeah, it's so practical. And you with your thongs?
Oh, yeah.
You could have worn your thongs if you'd had the butt
butter. If I'd had the butt butter. Who knew?
Who knew? All right, Phil, you're the best. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Party Down premieres Friday, March 20th at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific, only on Starz.
That doesn't exist, by the way.
It does.
Nope.
I saw this ad.
That is not real. Lisa TV Network.
No,
that is not even
right after
close
men
to real.
And brothers and sisters, tune in for Party Down.
Party Down.
Lisa
A
May.
Group of lovable dreamers. Who have to wait tables while they try to make their dreams come true.
Hey, Rod. Ciao.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz beat.
Right after Party Down, it's Throw Up. Story of a bunch of lovable bulimics who have to try to keep their lunch down while chasing their big dreams.
I would watch that.
I know you would. I'm just saying that right now.
Oh, things just keep getting weirder and weirder with Chris and Rihanna.
Oh really? What now?
Star has learned that, Rihanna is worried that some images could go public involving the two.
Okay.
Sex tapes.
Yep.
Celebrity sex tapes.
Always in favor of that.
And Chris Brown.
I wonder why these would come out now.
I don't know.
It's interesting.
But Rihanna, according to insiders, is worried that some of these tapes could become public and ruin her.
It would not ruin her, by the way.
Rihanna has no issues with her sexuality, a source tells Star, but she'd be mortified if her friends and family saw these images.
Well, they don't have to look. The rest of us can.
I'd like to look.
Me too.
So we'll keep you posted on the possible sex tape story between Rihanna and Chris Brown, but hope they don't have the last one in the series. That's all I don't want to see.
It's like bum fights.
I don't want to see that. I'm just saying. You don't want to see everything about every couple.
I agree.
Watching Boxing After Dark on HBO. Speaking of which, I know you guys aren't big boxing fans, but did you see the Joel Julio James Kirkland fight a couple Saturday nights ago? Oh man, that was a good fight. So they're going to start their 24/7 soon with Pacquiao and Hatton.
That's
going to be a great
fight.
That
is going to be amazing.
Coming up in May. So we'll talk more as we know more.
You know, the Armenian comedian is going to get us Manny Pacquiao.
That's what I've heard.
Yes. Yeah. He's repping him now.
Apparently he's his trainer.
That's correct.
How would you love to see Sam in the corner of that fight? You have to keep with the jabbing. Twice jab face, then I hit him back of the head, rabbit punch.
That would be the best thing I had ever seen in my life.
It would be terrific. This tragic story now is a tragic ending. Story of actress Natasha Richardson, who, as we've been following the story all week long, had a freak accident earlier this week when she fell on the bunny slope while skiing in Canada. Apparently, she suffered a massive brain injury during that fall, unbeknownst to her. An hour later, she was complaining of headaches, was rushed to the hospital, and then things went worse. She was brain dead earlier this week, and last night, apparently, her family made the painful decision of removing life support from Natasha Richardson, and she passed away at Lenox Hill Hospital in New York City last night.
Wow.
Apparently, by her bedside was her mother, Vanessa Redgrave, her sister, Jolie Richardson, and her husband, Liam Neeson, her two young sons, Michael and Daniel.
Oh, it's just the saddest thing ever.
Word is the actress's organs will be donated. The family has made that request, so they will try to make some good come out of this horrible situation. But the kids are just 12 and 13, which is just a rough age to lose your mom.
Oh, yeah.
I can imagine Liam Neeson is a mess, too. And it was just even creepier if you saw any of the footage on TMZ or any of the other entertainment news shows of just the hundreds of paparazzi outside the hospital as the family was coming and going from the hospital. I can't imagine a more difficult situation than to be under the spotlight's glare in that.
Yeah, that seems bad.
In that scenario. So, sad news. More celebrity sickbay news. Jessica Lange apparently fell down some stairs at her vacation cabin in Minnesota, broke her collarbone,
ouch,
and has several other severe injuries. Her representative says she'll be fine and expects to make a complete recovery as soon as she's released from the hospital. But that's bad news.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
That's what you get for vacationing in Minnesota, by the way.
Nothing good comes out of Minnesota.
There?
No one. That's why, because you will break something. It's the law. And David Prowse, the actor who played Darth Vader in the original Star Wars trilogy. Of course, James Earl Jones did the voice, but David Prowse was the guy in the suit, the imposing character in that that black suit and helmet. He has revealed he has prostate cancer at the age of 73 years old. However, he's been undergoing radiotherapy as well as some other treatments, and apparently he feels fine.
Okay, good.
Oh, that's good.
The force is strong with his prostate. That's all you need to know. Just a great story about him, too. David Prowse, you know, he's very excited, gets cast in this role. He does three movies, and he goes to see the movie, and it's like, hey, wait a minute.
He thought they were using his voice?
Yeah, he's like,
oh.
Okay, fine, Princess Leia. I want it brought to me, and the force is strong with this one. Let's go. And then he goes to see the movie.
Search the ship, find the princess.
So.
Luke, I am your father.
An off-Broadway actor is being hailed as a hero, Kevin. Once again, an actor saves a life.
Thank God they're here for
us. This dude's not even famous. His name's Chad Lindsay. He was in a subway in New York City when a guy fell off the platform onto the tracks as the train was approaching.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Would you have the balls that this guy had? Actor Chad Lindsay jumped onto the track, finding out that the guy was conscious, lifted him into his arms, and hoisted him up onto the platform out of harm's way.
Wow.
That lowered his shoulder and just stopped the train dead in its tracks.
Incredible Hulk. Lindsay apparently happens to be in a play in which he's required to lift a character who can't walk, and he's been doing the play for months, so apparently knew exactly how to lift the guy and get him up off the track.
What are the chances?
What are the odds?
What are the odds of that?
That's the guy you want hanging around you.
He's a hero for
he
sure.
He's a hero.
He's the luckiest person ever that got rescued.
I hope they give him a series or something. They give that actor a gig. The least he could do, right?
Yeah.
Bruce Willis, who celebrates his birthday today, he is 54 years old today, is apparently set to walk down the aisle with his model girlfriend, Emma Heming. I don't know if you've seen Emma or not, but she's hot. Sources tell People magazine that the couple is planning an intimate wedding at his home in Turks and Caicos.
Where is that?
That's in the Caribbean.
Oh, an island.
It's an island.
Yes.
And the nuptials are planned for this weekend, if you believe the sources.
Okay.
Bruce is 54, as I mentioned. His girlfriend is 32.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
And more May-December romances. Friends are saying the relationship between Madonna and her boyfriend, Brazilian model 22-year-old Jesus Luz, is purely physical. Here's the reason why. Jesus doesn't speak much English.
Really?
So apparently conversation is kept to a minimum between the material girl and her model boyfriend. She wants him for one thing, says a friend. So she pays him a couple $1,000s every week and pays for his lifestyle and room in New York City.
That rules. Good for her.
Just once, I would like to know what it's like to be so good-looking that a woman would pay you to have sex with
you. Yeah.
Instead of the other way around, which it went for me for years.
It's still going for you.
Hey, what? And last night, American Idol fans were saddened as Alexis Grace was given the boot from the show.
Oh, no! She was so far and away the best.
Not really.
No, but she's adorable.
Super hot. She's just a sexy little tiny girl who had a great voice.
Yeah.
God, she's hot. Playboy hot.
But it was Country Western Week. How do you judge anyone by singing a freaking Country Western song?
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
That's why the show is bad. Back to you.
She got the boot twice, in essence, because the judges have this newly added rule where they can save someone who gets voted off the show and bring them back for another week and give America another chance to see their talent. So when they said that she was the one leaving, Simon Cowell said, well, we've talked about it, and we said you were the one that if we were going to use this save, that we would probably use it with you.
Okay.
But we're going to make you sing the song you sang this week again, and then we're going to decide after that whether we're going to save you or not.
The same song that got her voted off.
Yes. So she sang the song, and they went back to the judge, and they said, nah, no, we're not going to do it.
Still not impressed.
Bye-bye.
Very well, job done, baby.
He said that, but no one knew what he meant.
That's right. Why do you have to do it twice? Why? Look, she knows the save is out there. She knows that's a possibility.
I like it.
Just answer once at the end of the show whether she's going to be saved or not.
I like to toy in with them.
Yeah, you. No, you're the one we were thinking about saving. We were thinking about that. No. Today's celebrity birthdays, as I mentioned, Bruce Willis is 54 years old today. Actress Glenn Close turns 62. Drummer Zach Lynn from Jimmy Eat World is 33 years old today, and actress Rachel Blanchard is 33 as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Check it. Yeah, yeah.
It's the Kevin DeBee Show, yeah. The world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Matt Money Smith.
Yeah.
Woo! Sports guy in the studio with us right now, talking about March Madness.
Yeah, so there's a lot of numbers.
And
right?
His
and
book.
It was in a time capsule, and it's with my son.
Yeah, that's Nicholas Cage.
Nicholas Cage, not you.
And yeah, so I was with my son.
We just found out that Matt Money Smith
wrote
a book. We didn't know that. He didn't tell us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's not coming out for like a month. So I figured when it's ready to in stores, when you know people can that impulse buy, call to action.
This is going
to
be in stores?
April 27th.
This isn't like
yeah.
a download that you have to read on a Kindle or something?
No, you can save your money right now and
you
pre-order
hold it.
It
in your hands?
Here's the thing. At Barnes & Noble, we found it on the site. You can buy it for
those
$10.
Those wacky Bards.
You can buy it for $10 if you're a member of Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy it for $11 if you buy it online. The list price is $14.95.
Yeah.
So, in effect, this book begins on sale.
not even released. They're already marking it down.
They're not even going to give it a full price for a day.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of straight to video for a movie.
If Barnes & Noble's carrying it, you really have to take Noble out of their name, don't you? Shouldn't it just be Barnes now? They're carrying this book.
Yeah, Barnes is the one who lobbied to get it in there.
Yeah,
Noble
Barnes
wanted nothing to do
Noble
with it.
Noble hated it.
But, yeah, it's everywhere. Right. Amazon, all of that.
All right, we'll have you back in when it doesn't come out on April 28th, but what is it for now?
Damn economic downturn. It's a book that's like a collection of, I think we did 100 lists, and it's basically every list you could possibly think of as it relates to Los Angeles sports.
The Great Book Dodgers. Of Los Angeles Sports Lists is its name.
Yeah.
And you co-wrote it with Steve Hartman.
I did, yes. One of my partners over there on the sports station.
Do you have a list in this book? Because you said every list you could think of. Do you have a list of the worst books about Los Angeles sports? Yeah, that on there.
Yeah, there's 10 entries. And it's all ours. We just the appendix, the reference page. Yeah, so, you know, Kobe did a list. Worthy did a list. I got a bunch of Lakers to-do list to contribute, places they like to play, memorable shots they made, things like that. Luke Robitaille.
100 lists.
100. Yeah, you wouldn't think you could get to that number. And then I started writing, like, famous dogs. Who doesn't like watching sports with their dogs?
Longest shoelaces.
But it's pretty great. I'm sort of proud of it.
You mean
it's pretty great?
Yeah, I'm sort of proud of it. I haven't held it in my hand, so it's not quite palpable yet. Until I get that, and I can smell the crisp pages. But
did you get any Clippers
yeah,
for writing the list?
I think we did one Clippers list.
Did you?
I think it was worst Clippers moment, and I think I just had one entry. Everything. Rather simple, yeah.
It's ugly. All right, Matt Money Smith is in the studio. We got to talk about March Madness because that starts today. Very excited about
it. Like an hour.
We have to talk about KFED, which you have.
Yes.
How about that, huh?
Nice enough to bring us some in-studio recording from KFED.
Yeah, some random listener, I guess, just sent it to us.
That's
it was pretty
best.
Weird. Showed up, no return address, no name. But it's definitely him.
It is, yeah.
Doing ringtones in a studio, raw audio.
And making them up. He's not reading a... That script.
Oh, no. The folks that decided they were going to make a lot of money on KFED ringtones didn't have the foresight to write a script for him. They figured he was very creative.
Well,
the
guy's rocking the mad beats like KFED. You don't hamper him by giving him the written
point.
Word.
That's a good point.
Just freestyle.
Yeah. So, release the trammels.
We will take a quick break and come back with all that. March Madness begins today. I don't know if you've seen, but our president has been predicting the way things are going to go.
Yeah, they call it Barackatology.
There's
Barack. See, that's punny,
see?
Right? Really punny.
That's punny.
Barackatology.
Pac-10's been looking pretty weak this year. I think BC only goes this far. All right, so you're going Nova. We got Nova. I've got to pick Duke.
Florida State and Xavier.
I like Florida State. Here's what I like about Carolina.
On one hand, I love the fact that a president can intelligently talk about sports.
Yeah, it's not a political sports discussion.
Right,
you know,
he's a
fan. He is, which is cool.
That. And on the other hand, you go... Don't you have anything better to do with your time than this?
I don't think he's dedicating too much time to the bracket.
He knew every team and what he thought was going to happen.
But if you follow the years, you can do that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you get a sense.
There is a bit of campaigning going on there, though, because think about the states where Barack won handily, all West Coast, you know, California, Washington, Oregon. What's he say right there?
Pac-10 weak.
And then he immediately says, I like Florida State. You know, he's got North Carolina, the smallest margin of victory for him. To win it all.
Experience and balance. Clemson, Oklahoma, we like Oklahoma.
Louisville.
I think Louisville is an outstanding team. Here, I think Wake. West Virginia's been looking strong.
All right. Anyway, that's our president.
So you think he's thinking 4 years ahead? He's
already
starting to sow the seeds in North Carolina?
Absolutely.
Hey, I rooted for you guys in the Final Four.
He really laid it on him, too. He said, at the end of that, he says, I had you picked last year and you let me down.
Right.
Yeah, I saw that.
Jeez, if your hands burrow and your goofy eyes, you're like, I let the president down. To hell with Geithner. Look, I'm not doing my part in America.
What about the economy? You let me down.
It's good for him, though, because the guy can't bowl. You know, remember he had that nightmare experience. I mean, he threw like nine gutter balls in a row. Eats salad with arugula. So this kind of brings him back with the dudes.
He shoots a three-pointer, though.
He does.
He did that.
Yeah, he played with Punahou or something. You know, I think that's where he played.
I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah, my favorite high school basketball team, Punahou.
On the Big Island?
On the Big Island there.
So right now, today through April 6th is the March Madness. And that's always fun.
They call it the greatest sporting event in the world. And
NCAA calls it that.
Yes, they do. I think it's, the idea that it's single elimination. You lose a game and you're done, and you're
and
a team
involves
like
everybody. Right. There's teams from all over the country, so everyone has some sort of rooting interest.
The team that UCLA will open up with is Virginia Commonwealth, and 2 years ago, they beat two-seeded Duke. You know, they were a 15 seed. No one had any idea who Virginia Commonwealth was.
Is UCLA going to have a problem with them this year?
Well, that year, 2 years ago, a lot of people, including our president, picked this upset, this 11-6 upset. But, two years ago, Duke got way too high a seed. That was like one of the great controversies of the tournament, is this is not a team that deserves a two seed. UCLA is good, and this may sound like one of those random statistics, but it actually does have a lot of merit. Ben Howland, who's the head coach of UCLA,
right,
I think is like 35-1 on Thursdays. And
that's a stupid statistic.
The point of that statistic
is, I'm going to punch you right in the head.
They play games on Thursday and Saturday or Thursday and Sunday. Yeah. So you get all that prep time going into your Thursday game.
Right.
So when Ben Howland has an opportunity to get those extra 2 days to prep for a team, he's a great coach, a great tactician, and can exploit weakness. So when you have superior talent, a great coaching mind, that's a very fashionable upset pick, and I would not recommend it.
USC is going to take on Boston College. How are they going to do that?
You know what? I called the Pac-10 tournament last week, and USC has this kid out of Compton named DeMar DeRozan, who was supposed to be the next O.J. Mayo, one of the best freshmen in the nation, and he really didn't have a great season, but he is one of these LeBron James bodied dudes. 6'7", just swole, just looks like a linebacker, can shoot the ball, and he exploded in the Pac-10 tournament. They won the whole thing. That's the only reason they're in, because they won those three games in a row, and he ended up being the tournament MVP. So I think he is one of those dynamic players that can take over a tournament, and I like them to make a little bit of a run there.
This is clearly a misprint, because it says Memphis is going to play, it says here, Cal State Northridge.
Go Ridge! Yeah, the Matadors, the finest mascot in Southern California. That butt chin, that plastic smile, and that beautiful hat. Yeah. Commuter school, they had to win their tournament to get in. A lot of, I don't know if you've seen the stories, but a lot of tumult surrounding the Cal State Northridge Matadors. The coach's son, Bobby Braswell, who's a great dude, the head coach, his son is being prosecuted for grand theft. Wow. He had a bunch of the basketball players come to Best Buy, and he was just like hitting the clear button on the register. Beep, 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 beep. And they walked out with like 10 G's worth of plasma TVs.
That's the best.
Yeah, really not a great plan. So he had to deal with that all year, but still rallied his team. They're going to lose by 60. So it's a great story.
But they're in.
It ends here. Yeah, but they're in.
They're in.
How about Cal against Maryland? Same bracket.
You know what?
That
is, Cal has Mike Montgomery, who is the dude that led Stanford to all those great years of winning Pac-10, you know, the regular season Pac-10, getting to the Final Four. This is his first year back. A lot of people didn't think he'd have the horses at Cal. He ended up doing a great job. But Maryland, I think, is a team that's a little bit on the rise right now. They had a good tournament. You know, they've won it all with Gary Williams, the head coach. So I think Maryland is your pick there. The great Pac-10 team, I think, to keep an eye on, along with USC, even though they're a 10 seed, is Arizona State. It's a squad that's got a guy who's probably going to get picked in the first three or four selections of the NBA draft named James Harden. He's out of Artesia out here. Really resurrected that program. They hadn't had back-to-back winning seasons since, I think, like 1980. And since he arrived there, really laid it down. And they have a big guy in the middle, Jeff Pendergraft. So look at A-State to maybe, everybody likes Syracuse because of that six overtime game. And they're really riding high on, and it's a known commodity in the tournament. But I like A-State in an upset there. And I think they could make a little bit of a run because they have one of those dynamic players that can take over a tournament.
It seems like every year there's a Cinderella story. It seems like that. It may not be, but it does seem like every year one team comes through and just kicks people's ass that no one saw coming. And do you see anyone like that?
You know, I think if you look at the big thing that like some douchey dude around your office is going to tell the ladies that are filling out their brackets last minute is, you know, like
they
there's
play
always
good on Thursdays.
I thought that was a pretty good thing. There's always a 12-5 upset. You always got to pick a 12. Make sure whatever you do, you pick a 12. You know,
because
every year a 12 upsets
a 5. Mason or
the thing about this year is all the 12s are good. Like Arizona is a 12, and they could make a run. You have Western Kentucky with the greatest, again, the mascot talk. Their mascot is a big red blob of goo. It's just like this red blob with eyes that just rolls around and looks all fat. It looks like Grimace, but it's red.
That's my team.
Yeah, so Western Kentucky also a 12 seed. And actually Arizona's a 12 seed, right? And they're taking on Utah, who's the 5 seed, but Vegas has Arizona favored. So that just speaks to the idea of for some reason, why 12s tend to do well. Northern Iowa could beat Purdue. And then Illinois, the team that Western Kentucky is facing, the Big Ten was kind of miserable this year, and Western Kentucky's healthy, Illinois's hurt. So that, another 12-5 upset. But the one team, you know, everybody's picking North Carolina to win. The president, you know, I don't know if we're supposed to pick North Carolina to support our president. You know, that's what they say, no matter what your politics may be.
You
got to back them up. So the one team I like this year, and it's not really a Cinderella anymore, is Gonzaga. They used to be the little team that could. Spokane, Washington, the Lilac City, near nature, near perfect, Spokane, Washington. Their coach, Mark Few, has been there since 89. Something about the tournament and consistency, I think, that breeds winning. And Gonzaga, I think, has the best team yet. They played everyone this year. They played UConn and Tennessee and Arizona. I mean, any big program they took on this year in all these preseason tournaments in November. And they performed very well. They rolled through their tournament.
They could win the thing?
I think they could. This could be their year to go to the Final Four. And if you don't like North Carolina to win it, it seems like the fashionable pick that everyone's taking. You could maybe really make a run in your bracket if you want to roll with Gonzaga, because that's a team that could really screw up everybody's picks.
Speaking of fashionable, though, it seems like a team that a lot of people thought early on was a favorite, now has kind of lost steam with all this North Carolina talk, is Louisville. People are just aren't as hot on Louisville as they were a couple weeks ago.
I like Louisville a lot. I found out with my new syndication that you call it the Bill.
The Bill.
You know, if you're from Louisville,
if you're in the know,
then you got to call the Louisville Cardinals and their angry Cardinal mascot. It's got teeth in its beak. The Cardinal mascot does. They call it the Bill. So the thing about the Bill, they have my favorite player in the tournament. His name's Terrence Williams. He's one of these, kind of slender but tall, do slender. Everything.
Nice butt.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, veiny on the forearms. You can really get into it. Look at Mike. Calm down over there.
Where else has he got veins?
The big one. The vein. He does everything. He rebounds, assists. The guy averages five steals a game, and that's a dude that teams can rally behind. And plus, they've got this very sinister Beelzebub kind of vibe to him, because all their players have two first names: Earl Clark, Terrence Williams, John Johns. It is a whole bunch of dudes that
serial killers.
That's the way it works, right? I think the Bill. Louisville. A good pick to go all the way.
I'm putting my money on Chattanooga. It looks like they have the worst record in the group at 18-16.
I'll tell you what's funny. I'll tell you what's funny about Chattanooga. A 16 has never knocked off a 1. Ever.
This is a
16 versus a 1. UConn has not been the same team since their two guard, his name is escaping me right now, I think it's Jerome Dyson, went down, and they nearly lost to a 16. A couple years ago, Albany almost beat them. I mean, it came down to the final minute.
They have a team? Albany?
Yeah, they kind of do, and it's capital of New York and all that, right. And a state school. But Chattanooga, was injured early in the season, got their players back late. They can shoot they can shoot lights out. So if they get hot, that is kind of the 1-16 team.
That'd be awesome.
That you might want to keep an eye on. I'm not saying it's going to happen. It's never happened.
I'm saying they're going to go the whole way.
Chattanooga,
yep.
That's your squad?
Right through Detroit Final Four Championship.
I'm going to say that may not be the best pick as far as a sleeper goes.
Yeah, your common wisdom or whatever, but you're talking about mascots. I know basketball.
And just looking at the spread, if you want to just kind of make a little scratch on it, Kevin, and you want to take Chattanooga and you don't take it on the money line, which means, you just think they're going to win.
Straight up.
You're going to go ahead and get 22 points. You're already up 22 to nothing right now you want to just go ahead and take Chattanooga, Kevin.
I'm in. I'm going to go to Vegas today.
No, why not? Huh? You know what? If you have the Kevin and Bean old standby, stomach. Just call work and say stomach.
Yeah.
There really is no better time.
From the neck down. You got to go to Vegas.
You always hear about Vegas in the Super Bowl. It pales in comparison to the first two days of the NCAA tournament.
And it's really great because you don't have to go to the sports book. They have TVs. You can
everywhere.
Be gambling, blackjack, whatever craps, and there's TVs there to keep up with it. That's great.
You just got to deal with a high quotient of douchey frat guys with school T-shirts on that are drinking rotten apples and yelling at each other and smoking cigars it's kind of annoying.
It's crank city.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. We need to take a break. We got to come back with the K-Fed tape. This is ridiculous. I'm glad you got it from a listener, but it's him in the studio ad libbing, just coming off the top of his head with these ringtones and stuff. So we'll come right back with that with Matt Money Smith on K-Rock.
Hey, it's Kevin Federline. Pick up your phone. Pick it up.
That is not happening.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I thought the Hoff ringtones were the best I'd ever heard.
Yep.
They may be trumped.
Yeah, prepare to be usurped, Hoff.
You know what's ridiculous about this is his voice is not really that recognizable.
At all.
Like, if you played that for him and he didn't say his name, I would have no idea who that was.
That's why he's got to say his name on every one of them.
It's stupid.
Yo, hey. Yo.
They don't give him a script. Why don't they give him a script?
The best. I love it because it's raw.
How hard is it to make up a couple ringtones?
Because it's 12 minutes.
It's Federline.
Of raw audio. He's constantly searching for backing. Was that cool? Did you like that pause? hey. Yo, do you like that?
Where'd you get this tape from?
I don't know. Just showed up.
Anonymous.
No return address in a jiffy. And
whoever that is.
Because we know Federline.
Black Ops. This is Black Ops.
Black Ops.
Right here.
Whoever did this, we owe you.
Yeah.
Because this is spectacular.
Like, you got a text message, dude. You heard me?
I like that he calls everybody dude.
Duh.
Yeah, dude.
Duh.
Dude.
You have a stroke?
I said you got a text message, dude. This is Kevin. K-Fed. A.K.A. Mr. Federline. You have a new voicemail. Not from me. Probably from somebody you don't care about. K Federline, incoming. Paparazzi on my back.
What? What does that even mean?
What does that mean?
Paparazzi on my back.
Why does he think anyone would want that to be their ringtone?
What would you do if you were like at the Starbucks and the guy in front of you all of a sudden has his phone go, do
K-Fed incoming. Incoming.
I would worship that guy because,
yeah, I guess that's
because
true.
Of the ridiculous
badness. What if that was not ironic?
Oh. Yeah, what if he had his hat the crookedest?
Yeah.
And his pants the baggiest? Then you wouldn't
have
him.
A new text message. Man, holla at your damn self. This is Federline, bitch.
Yeah.
What?
Psst, holla at your damn self. He's good.
This is Federline, bitch.
You got a new voicemail I just pulled out of my ass.
Oh. He thinks that's funny.
This is Kevin Federline, and the person you are calling might be playing with some women. Or maybe some women are playing with some women.
Now he's starting to ad lib, and he's not heading any direction.
Nope.
But he's got
a gift.
He does have the confidence to keep going.
And your girl has a girlfriend, and your boys love it. Man, I don't know. These are just some of the things that they talk about, huh? Just like being America's most hated, you know, getting chased by paparazzi every day. F*** that. That's what I gotta say. So hopefully, your friend will answer your call, y'all can hook up, and do the damn thing. But until then, holla at yourself.
Mm. Yes, he turned it right around and made it good.
That's really long.
Who is the guy?
That's a long
who was the guy that we got the tape from that we flew out for a weenie roast?
Oh yeah,
Coop DeVille,
Coop
right?
DeVille.
In your mouth. That was very Coop Delicious. That was very Coop Delicious esque.
Yeah, but not as good.
No,
I'm drawing blanks here. You know what? Maybe the person on the other line is smoking, kicked back, not really wanting to pick up their phone. Watching TV with a beer and a bowl of potato chips.
Who could he be referring to?
Maybe it's Sunday football. But if it's Monday through Saturday.
Okay, that's his phone ring,
yeah.
By the way. That's his phone ring.
Okay.
And then he answers it in the studio, and it's his mom.
That's my annoying phone ring right there. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, nothing. Just kind of working a little bit. It's always a gift when I answer these days. Oh. Yeah, it was great. I smacked the out of John Cena. Yeah, it was crazy.
Did you go to a club that night, I heard?
Yep. You know me. Out partying.
Was it good?
This is mom.
Was it good?
Was it good?
Was that partying good?
This must have been after his WWE thing that he did.
Was that good?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was like a miniature Vegas. Recording you in a vocal booth right now for ringtones.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Say hi.
Hi.
That's my mom, dude. My mom's a pimp.
I'm sorry. And you're a whore.
Did you say my mom's a pimp?
Yeah.
That just happened.
My mom's a pimp.
Wow.
His mom is a pimp.
That's my mom. I like how he starts by answering the phone. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, mom. Oh, yeah, everything's good. Oh, it is a blessing when I answer the phone these days.
We're recording.
Oh, my mom's a pimp!
Yeah! Oh, mom.
Biznet, snap it! Mom,
she
you
got
a pimp!
Old gold teethies.
Dude, my mom's a pimp. Dude.
Yo, this is Kevin Federline. What, do you got nothing better to do but to call this person? Maybe this person is busy. You trying to waste other people's time? Maybe they're a hard-working person. I don't know.
But why
are you calling? Don't make no sense to me. I think you should just holler at your damn self and go on about your day.
I am going to make all of that my ringtone. I'm going to make all
the entire everything we played so
have?
Far.
12 minutes or something?
12 minutes.
I'm going to make
that
my ringtone.
He's got it all covered. You got voicemail. You got text. You got that's the ring back right there. You know,
right.
Someone's calling
right.
You. That's
sure.
There. And then you've got him saying you got a phone call, dude. I mean, you can really fed up your phone something good.
Fed up. Fed up.
Well, this is the best tape I've ever had. And
yeah,
I'm so
thank
happy
you to anonymous person that dropped it off.
And thanks for bringing it in, Money. We appreciate it.
Happy to do that.
Matt Money Smith, Petros, his partner, 4 to 7 in the afternoon.
Communism. Communism sucks.
Matt's doing an impression of himself.
He is doing me, doing Mike, doing me.
Money, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Well, you know, it's always my pleasure. I like this show because it's a dynasty. Like Bo Bachman at the Roscoe exit on the 405. I've been doing business with them for more than 10 years. Got 3 cars, and I know the family personally.
Don't forget about the 19 consecutive years.
19 consecutive years with Bice Bach and Broman of the Bachman family.
Hey, you know, speaking of which, Tony Arnott's stepping down.
What?
Tony Arnott is stepping down.
Who's taking his place? Freaking Dmitry Medvedev? Communism's going down over there.
We don't know yet, but Tony Arnott is leaving.
And
Tony!
Isn't he the guy that kept us number one all these years?
He's the guy that got us the crown every year.
This is not acceptable.
You know
Get
what?
On the horn.
Maybe I have something to do with this. Maybe it was Tony that was keeping him there, but now me
maybe.
Threatening those with pinko communism if they don't shop and help him have caused Tony's job to essentially be...
Would you mind calling over there and see
redundant?
If you can get him back on the, get him back on the job?
Yeah, get him.
Because we can't have it.
I think maybe money should take his place.
All right.
Put him on the throne either over there at Galpin.
Real quick, your work with Irwin from Sit and Sleep.
Oh, yeah, you like that when I'm talking to Irwin on the phone? Oh, yeah.
That's
that
tape we should have played.
Was the best, worst commercial I've ever heard.
Isn't it, though?
Irwin? What are you doing now?
Who is that, Larry? Who is that? Irwin again?
Look, we all have to do commercials now. We don't talk about this much, but in this current economy, we all have to do commercials. That one stands out, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you get to work with a legend like Larry, and I'd like to point out giant middle finger to Neil with the deal at Leeds Mattress. You suck, Neil. Larry's my guy. I got to roll with Larry. Irwin, what are you talking about? Larry, who is this?
Money,
what do you think,
you're
Ralph?
Killing me.
You got some ins in Hollywood? Can that get me some parts?
I think that there's...
I'll put a reel together.
That's a sitcom in the making. Yeah. The three of you in a sharing an apartment while you're trying to make your dreams come true.
You're dunking our profits. What does he mean by that, Larry? What does dunking your profits mean?
That's the worst commercial ever, and I worship you for it.
Paparazzi on my back. How about your damn self?
Thanks for coming in, Money. We appreciate it.
Party Down, a new Starz original series about a group of struggling dreamers who are stuck working for tips while they wait for their big break. Party Down premieres Friday, March 20th at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific, only on Starz.
That's not a real sponsor.
I think they work for caterers.
Party Down stars Larry, Irwin, and Money. They say the guys in
that
the
I don't
and K-Fed.
K-Fed.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
You're killing me, Money!
Who is that?
I didn't realize Money was going to be such a part of that group.
Yeah.
If I had,
that's my crew, man. We party down.
Sad news for Adnan Galib.
Yeah, good day.
Apparently, he has to stay away from Britney Spears for another 3 years. A judge yesterday issued a continuation of the restraining order requested by Britney's father and legal representative to leave Britney alone until 2012.
See what you did there?
What did I do?
Leave Britney alone!
I didn't. That's how good I am. I didn't even know that I did that.
I picked it up, man.
Yeah.
And how dare anyone out there make fun of Britney?
How dare indeed. We had him in the studio yesterday. We missed our opportunity to snuff out his life before he could do this. Mark Burnett.
Yeah.
Has announced today that he has just signed Audrina Patridge to her own reality series.
I love her.
Oh, Money.
She's the worst person ever.
She is. She's the worst person ever.
At least she gets her own show.
Boobs.
Hollywood Reporter says the show will follow her personal and professional life.
She's hanging out with K-Fed, cutting ringtones.
That's right. Hi, this is
K-Fed, a.k.a. Mr. Federline.
Yeah. Misha Barton's got a new TV show, too. It's called A Beautiful Life.
Starve Yourself.
Actually, producers, this is funny. The producers have told her that she has the lead role, but she has one part of her contract where she cannot lose any weight.
No
While on the series, yes.
Well, good.
In fact, they're asking her to gain a few pounds.
Wow.
She sure could eat.
Yeah.
Apparently, the producers are afraid she might...
die?
Get to a size where she's no longer to be picked up by a TV camera. Might just become smaller than a pixel.
She'll have to wear like 8 shirts or something so that she shows
exactly.
up.
Put her in one of those inflatable sumo costumes. VH1 is bringing back Behind the Music. Thank God.
Yeah.
I love that show.
Yes.
An executive told The Hollywood Reporter that the first two episodes on the schedule, Lil Wayne and Scott Weiland.
Yes, and
maybe they shouldn't bring it back.
They could do like 5 of them on Weiland.
Scott, that should be an
Yeah, the Weiland would be good. They should just run the crew one over and over and
that is a good
over.
One. That's
again.
Classic.
Or the Leif Garrett one.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, that's a
Everyone's
close second.
Where he paralyzes his best friend
right?
in that crash. In that
really
Porsche.
Really is the feel-good show of the summer.
And they bring them back together again on that picnic table.
Yep. Wheelchair, yeah.
Dude wheels up.
Yeah.
Leif's all like, oh, man, this is hard, man.
I haven't seen this one, but it looks good. Sounds good.
Are you kidding?
Sounds good.
I've seen it.
It's the best. And lastly, more music news. If you're a Pearl Jam fan, the last couple episodes of Cold Case. You watch that show on CBS, Cold Case?
I just watched it for the first time on Sunday.
Good show.
Yeah, it is.
They're doing a two-part season finale, and, you know, cold cases, they go back in time to solve cases that have remained unsolved for years.
Right.
This case takes place in 1991. So on both episodes, all Pearl Jam music on both episodes.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Hmm. All the songs will come off the album's debut album, 10, which, of course, debuted in 1991. And so you can check it out on Cold Case May 3rd, and then again on May 10th if you're a big
So when Pearl Jam was fan. Good.
Hey, how dare
That's
you?
That's correct. Yes.
We're out of time. Thanks for stopping by, Money.
Yeah. Sorry, did I ruin it?
No,
man.
Fault?
Not at all.
Stupid Irwin.
You've been running late all day. Today's celebrity birthday.
Would you mind sticking around to 5 p.m.?
Sure.
You don't have anything to do, right?
Oh, wait a minute.
Let's sit through Cat.
You have a new voicemail. Not from me. Probably from somebody you don't care about.
Yeah. Well, that time at the Groundlings has really paid off well for K-Fed. His improv skills have improved enormously. Today's celebrity birthday. Glenn Close is 62 years old today. We were saying earlier today, a little mummy-ish, don't you think? Glenn
Great
Close?
Call. Yeah, that's the hair, too. Yeah. The crinkly hair. It's weird. It looks like a giant French fry.
Someone has sucked all the moisture out of her body at some point.
Oh.
I'm just saying. It's not healthy.
Yeah.
She needs a good steam.
Just let it go.
I'm
let
saying go. She needs some moisture.
Nice right. baby oil mist.
That's what she needs.
Where did she get the moisture from, Ralph?
Maybe a shower massage. Okay. One of those table shower massages you get, you know? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I'm just saying. She needs fluids. Stat. Hang a banana bag on her. That's what I'm saying.
Is that code?
It's a medical term.
Oh, all right.
From my days on Dookie Howser, MD. Glenn Close is 62 years old today. Bruce Willis turns 54. Zach Lynn, Jimmy Eat World. Or other Jew, as I like to call them.
The 30, old Jew.
33 years old today. You know the guy from Jew.
Yeah, I used to tour with the Jew back in the day. Yeah.
Right.
They were just here. They did the 10th anniversary of Clarity, as a matter of fact. That fantastic CD.
When he played tambourine with them, a lot of people didn't realize.
That's right. He was the Davy Jones of Jimmy Eat World.
That was me.
That's right.
And actress Rachel Blanchard turns 33 years old today as well. I'm Ralph Garman. Let's talk not sports.
Baby.
This afternoon at 5, we're going to go. We went through yesterday after the show. We went through the McDonald's drive thru to try and order the McGangbang. Have you seen that?
The McGangbang?
Yes.
The McGangbang.
It's a double cheeseburger with a McChicken jammed in the middle of it.
Ooh.
And it's called the McGangbang.
It's like new code for ordering at McDonald's.
Off the menu.
Like In-N-Out has their codes.
Right.
This is new
code. Free-buy.
This is new code for McDonald's.
McGangbang.
The McGangbang.
Yes. You can order them unprotected as well, by the way.
How about that? And then The McDirty Sanchez, they put like syrup on it or something?
The McRusty Trombone?
You'll have to wait until this afternoon to find out. Money, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thank you. I don't know if you guys have seen online the McGangbang. Have you seen that yet?
Online? I just heard about it the other day.
People are ordering the McGangbang, which is a double cheeseburger with a McChicken sandwich in the middle of it.
It looks delicious.
So
it's yummy. Huge.
Yeah, that's what she said.
It looks like it would kill you immediately, but it looks pretty fascinating.
Oh, it looks good.
And apparently people now are ordering all over the country, and you can see videos of people ordering it. And then McDonald's put out a statement saying, we are happy to help our customers with whatever they want. If they have a special order, feel free to come through and order it.
No
problem. We're happy to
thumbs up
to do whatever you'd like.
Wow.
So there's a McGangbang on MySpace. It's got its own page.
Yep.
So we decided to go to a local McDonald's and try to order the McGangbang.
Of course you did.
And it didn't work quite as well as it looked like it did online.
Hi, get up in.
Can I get a McGangbang, please?
What was that?
A McGangbang. It's a...
Almost a little further, the last one, though. I can hear you better.
Okay. You can hear me better if I pull up. You haven't seen the McGangbang? It's a double cheeseburger with a McChicken sandwich in the middle of it. I saw it on the internet. You don't have it?
No.
Mm. All right, thank you. Okay, your turn.
So Alex is in the car with me, our producer, and Dave.
Uh-huh.
So I say to Dave, your turn. And he just kind of
Wait, you're going exhales. Back through the same one?
Well, that was my joke.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
So, but we didn't. We went to another McDonald's.
Okay.
And we tried to order it from that woman.
Hi, thank you. It's McDonald's daughter.
Hi, we would like a McGangbang, please.
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you say, sir.
A McGangbang. It's a double cheeseburger with the McChicken in the middle of it. It's a McGangbang.
With a McBurger?
Yes, with a McChicken right jammed into the middle of it.
Okay, McChicken, that's what sandwich different. McDouble, that's a different.
McDouble with a McChicken jammed right in the middle of it. A McGangbang.
So when McChicken and when McDouble?
Right, but jammed together as one sandwich.
Okay, can you please come to the window?
Okay.
All right, so.
They sure love to take you to the window.
Yep. If they can't understand you or they don't know what you're talking about. So then she goes and gets the manager, and the manager says, we've never heard of it. Please drive on. So.
Oh, denied twice now.
What?
Is there another McDonald's around here?
No, we're going to the same one.
Okay, so my comedy is, let's go back through the same drive through this poor woman. And I start to stop the car and get out so Dave can get in.
Right.
It's just a foregone conclusion that that's the way it's going to work. Dave doesn't want to have any part of it.
What?
Look,
Dave?
Look. I'm the behind the scenes guy. I'm recording this for on video. I'm not there to be funny and be the on-air guy.
You don't
guy.
Have to be funny. You just order him a gangbang. Wouldn't it be funny if there's two different people order the exact same thing from this poor woman?
Not as funny as you keep going back and back and doing it.
This poor woman. McDave, your turn.
Come on, dude.
Wait. Come on. Don't be a pussy.
I can't do that, dude.
Why?
I hate making people feel uncomfortable.
All right, I'm going to do it again.
No, dude.
Okay.
You're all bad.
All right, so Dave won't do it. So then I just say, all right, I'll go through again.
See, Dave, it's funnier if you do it because what are the odds that two different people...
Why do I have to explain
this? One after the other. Now... He's just annoying. It's funny if you
that's
do it.
That's
right.
Kevin annoys you.
No, Kevin annoys you.
In this particular instance, me doing it again is not as funny as a different person asking for the same absurd thing.
And then Alex should drive
through. That was the plan. People, you don't get it. So I went through again to try and be funny, this poor woman.
Can
I have a McGangbang, please?
I'm sorry?
A McGangbang? It's a double cheeseburger with a McChicken in the middle of it.
So, no answer. And then she disappeared. She wouldn't say anything to me.
That was kind of funny.
Right?
See?
She literally ran for her car, I think. So then we pulled up, and there was no one at the window. It was the most bizarre thing that's ever happened. I got frozen out.
And a small shake.
She's ignoring you.
Now they open the door. The back door opens.
We're
going to get in trouble. The manager's going to come out.
We're going to arrest your
ass. He's going to yell at us.
Manager. Trash.
Oh, they're bringing out the trash. It's cool. We're good.
You're afraid.
Come on, Dave. Now I'm going to pull around, and I'm going to get out, and then you do it. Come on.
Nope, duck of.
You're a McPussy. Why are here?
To record. That's it.
No, I mean on Earth.
Stupid Dave.
He wouldn't do it.
He literally wouldn't do it.
Horrible.
Oh,
what's wrong
I think
with you?
I made the right decision.
Nope.
It came out perfectly.
We are going to go back today, and you are going to order the McHot Carl, the McCleveland Steamer.
Oh.
And the McChili Dog.
That's what you get.
And maybe the McChocolate Omelet.
Oh.
If you don't do it well. So that's your punishment. Sorry, dude. This is our fast food hour, by the way. We're talking about the McGangbang a second ago. There's a German food company that is serving Obama fingers.
Oh, that seems bad.
Obama fingers.
What is an Obama finger?
It's a chicken finger. And they don't seem to realize that perhaps someone will be offended by that here.
Yeah.
They think that it's a tribute to our new president.
President Obama.
Yeah. Well, so we have a spokesperson from the company. I think you say it's Spreehe.
Sure.
German food company on the line. Good morning, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon.
You want to try that again?
Germany knows what time it is.
I know what time it is. Looking at my clock, I can tell you it's not morning now, but in fact afternoon.
Yeah. Habits die hard.
I believe he told you his name, too.
Klaus?
Yes. I'm Klaus Ruger.
Yes. Hi, Klaus.
Good afternoon.
You're a spokesperson for Spreehe?
Spreehe, yes.
Spreehe
is the name of the company, yes.
Okay. And you're serving Obama fingers.
We are a frozen fruit company, as well as other items we make with the company, but the story in question is about our frozen chicken fingers. Yes, the fried chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And we call Obama fingers.
Right.
Yeah.
Which we thought would be a great way to honor your president.
Yeah, it's...
Barack Obama is the president. We thought the popular president with the popular chicken finger food, the fried chickens.
Yeah. I think part of the problem here in America is that there's a lot of people who are very sensitive to the black color of skin tied to fried chicken.
Yeah, the stereotype.
It's kind of a stereotype here that's a negative.
I'm sorry, I'm not understanding. What is the stereotype? I'm not familiar with this.
Well, it's a negative stereotype. People say, you know, black guys like fried chicken.
Right.
That's all.
You're kidding me. In your country, this stereotype exists?
Yes. And people seem to get super upset about that. We have guys here like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and people like that that will make a big deal out of something like this.
I'm incredibly sorry. I had no idea this was happening.
Yeah, well, it's not being received here in the spirit it seems to have been sent from you guys.
But it was just a way to, you know, honor him.
Right.
Sure.
And also to, you know, sell the chicken fingers in association with a popular person.
Well, I understand where you're coming from.
This is quite embarrassing.
It sounds like you had good intentions.
This is so very, very embarrassing.
Yeah.
Maybe some market research next time.
Yeah, well, hopefully we won't have the same problem with our new Mel Gibson gefilte fish that we're putting on the market soon. That's okay, right?
Probably not, actually. That might not work.
Mel Gibson's a popular actor in your country, right?
That might run you into a little trouble as well.
But we're just trying to sell the popular Jewish food, the gefilte fish.
Yeah.
Right?
So we got no problem then, right?
Well, that might also cause some problems. What else do you have? What other products do you have? Maybe not that one next.
The Adolf Hitler matzo ball soup.
Okay, that one's good.
Okay, now you should know why that's
all good.
Not good.
What? Adolf loved matzo ball soup.
I have to tell you.
It's very, in our country, it's well known he loved matzo ball soup. And it's kosher. So everyone should be able to enjoy it.
Is your company doing well?
Well, we've done very well.
Okay.
Really?
Just checking.
How about the Yao Ming Poodle Burgers?
Oh, God.
He's a very popular basketball player throughout the world.
Yes.
Yeah. So the Poodle Burgers, everyone would enjoy them.
No.
Right. We don't eat poodles here so much.
What?
Let's not eat poodles.
No. Your country's crazy. How about our makeup division, the Rihanna cover-up stick?
Oh.
Okay, listen.
No, it covers up all their dark circles under the eyes.
All right, Klaus, you need to do a little more research. Yeah. Thank you for your time today.
How about the Nadia Suleiman eggs? They come in a carton of eight. What do you think, a winner, huh?
Those will sell. Nice work. Time for the final Ralph Showbiz beat of the day.
Some college students are dumb.
Yeah.
Most.
Some of them are interns.
Hey, good point.
That's true.
We should know if college students are dumb,
judging
from the crop of people we get every semester. Apparently, some people at UCLA, this is coming from TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website, are incensed that James Franco has been asked to be their commencement speaker at the UCLA graduation ceremony this summer.
Why?
He's writing, isn't he?
He's just published a book of short stories.
Yeah.
He is currently studying at Columbia.
Yeah.
Why are they incensed?
And he has a career.
He's a graduate of UCLA.
Yeah.
Seems.
But many students are bitter about the fact that he is going to be their commencement speaker because he's only been graduated from UCLA for a year.
And yet, look what he's done.
Well, that should be, Didn't you go, wow, we could do that after a year out of college?
Wrong, Kevin. Just ask the people who have a group on Facebook entitled UCLA Students Against James Franco as Commencement Speaker.
Wow.
The group is 210 members strong.
Woohoo! That's a long name, by the way.
And they claim that James Franco lacks the wisdom and perspective such a speaker is meant to provide the graduates.
Do they really think they're going to get amazing nuggets from someone that they'll take with them for the rest of their lives?
Yes, Lisa.
Oh, okay.
Clearly, this is ridiculous, they say. Anyone who has been in classes with James knows he is an average student. He is a very talented actor. And clearly did well enough at UCLA to get into Columbia, but we merely protest that he is not an appropriate choice for our graduation speaker.
You are not an average student if you go to Columbia for your...
No. That's what I'm saying.
For your master's degree.
And by the way, you're UCLA. Relax.
I got news for you.
It's not freaking Yale.
He's gone a lot further than any of you that are on this Facebook page are going to go.
Word.
We got to get a hold of them. Somebody call us.
And it's a graduation speech, by the way. You're not asking them to remove your appendix. This isn't life-altering. I've seen Borat give commencement speeches.
That's true.
Some people have Donald Trump or Dr. Phil, for God's sakes. He's a distinguished alumni. Alumnus.
Relax.
Aluminium. Volvo.
Who are these people? That was off the URL.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Volvo is how you say it.
Volvo.
All right.
So anyway, we should talk to someone from UCLA Students Against James Franco as commencement speaker. Let's go on Facebook and find their page. And first of all, berate them and then ask them to be on our show. because that usually goes well. Rihanna and Chris Brown's sex tape. Does it exist? It does if you read the Star tabloid. Apparently Rihanna is concerned that wild sex tapes with her and her allegedly abusive boyfriend Chris Brown may be coming to light.
Well, I don't, that's not all bad, is it?
Well, not for us. But a source tells Star, Rihanna has no issues with her sexuality, but she'd be mortified if her friends and family found out about these tapes.
Then don't make them.
We've always said, don't tape yourself having sex.
Well, no, but if you're a hot celebrity, do make them. Just let it come out. Just...
Wow, you have a lot of caveats to
he
your
does.
Rules,
I do.
Kevin.
So confused
I do. I have a
now.
Lot of rules, but if you're hot and you're a celebrity, go ahead and put out the sex tape. Doesn't hurt you. Does you it hurt him?
When you guys were talking about the McGangbang, did anyone mention that Kevin neglected to... audio tape the first part of that segment
no.
that he was not able to work the tape recorder.
We found out.
No, no
that
one brought
later.
That up.
That was pretty interesting. I
yeah,
know.
That's great.
Too many buttons. What does on mean? And lastly, you know I'm not a country western fan, but this story made me laugh. Martina McBride has come forth. Apparently she is a very popular female country singer, and she's done an interview with Out.com, mm-hmm. which is a online publication directly mainly at the gay community. Okay. And in the interview with Out.com, she preaches tolerance.
How dare she?
I have three daughters, and that's what I teach them. I think we should all be tolerant of each other and embrace each other's strengths and differences and uniqueness and beauty. Well, this is not sitting well with her country music fans. Apparently, country music websites all over the internet are blowing up in their message boards with anger. Directed towards Martina McBride. I pulled a couple that I read. I thought was pretty hysterical. Just like the Dixie Chick, she should shut up and sing.
Uh-huh.
Good.
This one from another reader said, she, along with all parents, must teach their children that turning gay is a choice and not acceptable in today's society.
And if they're gay, never speak to them again.
That's right.
Damn it.
Mock them and make them feel badly. And lastly, Matthew Mason, a country western fan, writes on this country music website, the Almighty God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
He didn't say that.
He went there.
He didn't say that.
He went to the Adam and Steve.
Come on.
My favorite quote ever.
Yeah, because it's so stupid. And that guy feels like he just ended the debate.
Yeah.
That's right.
That was
Booyah.
It. Booyah. Yeah.
Yeah. Adam and Steve.
I'm going to start a Facebook group called UCLA Students Against Martina McBride Teaching Tolerance.
For saying that it's okay to be gay and
right.
we should tolerate them.
Wow.
In reality, we should... rail at them yes. with much, much anger and big belt buckles.
What is wrong with these
large
people?
Hats and boots? F country music, seriously.
I'm with you.
Thank you, sir.
It certainly wouldn't kill the country if it were gone.
No.
You know what I mean?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Glenn Close is 62 years old today. Actor Bruce Willis turns 54, by the way. It just announced Bruce Willis might be getting married this weekend. There's a rumor that he's going to tie the knot with his longtime girlfriend, 32-year-old smoking hot supermodel.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
That's her name?
I predicted that.
Her name is Smokey Mc...
You can't really call her that.
I believe that's her name, though. Oh, Emma Hemming. I'm sorry. Emma Hemming.
Close. A little different.
It was close.
Drummer Zach Lynn of Jimmy Eat World is 33 years old today.
Hey, Mike, you're going to need to beep...
Okay.
Yeah.
And that, too.
What?
What you just said.
And actress Rachel, excuse me.
What?
Actress Rachel is 33 years old.
Come on.
What? It's her name.
It's not her name.
I'm sorry. It's Blanchard is her name.
We are not doing exemplary work in our Cinco de la Tarde.
We are not exemplary.
You heard me.
Sure.
You heard what I said.
We are not exemplary.
That's correct.
I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.